For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty? Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic.
Everybody, happy Tuesday. Sam Tripoli is in Calgary, so if you're anywhere near Calgary, go see him live. He will be there the rest of the week. And Fight Nanny is out nannying, not fighting. So I'm here with Johnny Woodard, a.k.a. Ryan Adams, North Carolina fan.
Yes.
Was at the game yesterday.
Yes.
He's here today. We'll talk about that.
Sorry.
And then we got Al Madrigal coming up in the second hour. So, what's up, everybody? And, of course, as always, Aaron.
Sorry. Go Cards.
Go Cards. Wow, that was a weird. Were you having a heart attack right there when you turned the thing on?
It just takes a while, and I was drinking.
Oh, that's what it was. So, Aaron's hammered. what is that, Jack and Coke? What are you having right now?
Jack and Coke Zero, sir.
Oh, of course. You
gotta
watch
my figure.
What would be your go-to drink? I don't picture you as a drinker.
I don't, you know.
I mean, this show, for the most part, has always been, and probably always will be, a gigantic stoner in Ari, a guy who struggles with drug addiction in Sam, and a guy who struggles with alcohol addiction in myself. So I'm the drinker of the show. You're not much of a drinker.
No.
Because we can sense each other.
Yeah.
I can see that you would spread. I would imagine you are a guy who's five beers, you're pretty much hammered.
I assume I would be. I don't know.
You'd never drink.
No.
Have you ever been hammered?
No.
You've never been drunk?
Uh-uh.
How do we not know this on this show?
Yeah.
Wow. So you don't even, so you will go to let's say you go to a Cardinals-Dodgers baseball game.
Uh-uh.
You wouldn't have a beer?
No.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But I'll probably eat too much.
Well, yeah, everyone's got their thing. You'll be the eater of the show.
Yeah.
But I bet I can out-eat you.
It's possible. I've heard that about the super skinny.
Yeah, dude. We went to – every year we always go – we didn't do it this year because Ari was in New York the most of the time. Maybe – did we do it? No, we didn't do it this year. But usually we go to a Dodger game. We'll sit in the – for those who don't know or aren't familiar with Dodger Stadium, I believe it's left field.
Right field.
Right field, yeah. Pavilion.
All you can eat, yeah.
All of right field is all you can eat. And it's basically a $45 ticket, which is a good deal.
Uh-huh.
And every time I go, I just go, I'm going to eat until I've justified that this ticket is now free. So you factor, hot dogs are like $8-$10. And here's what you get all you can eat. So for $45, you get unlimited hot dogs, nachos, soda,
water.
Popcorn, water, and... There's one other
peanuts?
Thing. Peanuts, correct. Yeah. Peanuts, yes. And maybe there's some sort of ice cream sandwich or ice cream situation as well. So we always go and we go like, all right, cool, let's go. Three of us would go. And we would sit in the right field pavilion, all you can eat. And we're like, let's count hot dogs. Let's see how many. Neither one of these bozos, Ari and Sam, can hang with me. And Sam looks like he can knock down food.
Yeah.
But he can. He don't get me wrong. He's a fat fuck. Neither one of them. I had like 7 hot dogs at a Dodger game. And that didn't even include I had peanuts, I had popcorn, I had whatever.
Well, that was like when the fridge was in the hot dog eating contest on 4th of July, Nathan's.
And it was William like, Perry, the fridge?
Yeah, the refrigerator.
This last 4th of July?
No, it was like
oh,
years
way
ago.
Back. Okay,
but it was like he couldn't come. Like, he got like four hot dogs in, and Kobayashi's doing like 56.
Oh yeah, oh, dude, that's the most. I can't even watch that thing.
No.
And they're like Dante like dunking it in water for some reason.
Yeah.
It almost makes me. I don't know why, but that makes me almost gag.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Well, first of all, 57 hot dogs is fucking retarded.
It's a little sloppy. I mean,
but the whole fucking thing, like, I can't believe that is such a big thing. I get that it's a great hot dog promotion thing, and it's funny that it's constantly dominated by Japanese people.
Well, not lately.
But I mean,
we took it back. USA,
oh, really?
USA.
Okay.
Joey Chestnut or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. And they always have weird nicknames, too. Joey Chestnut. That doesn't sound like a guy that can eat a lot of hot dogs.
No.
Joey Chestnut doesn't sound like the kind of guy that's going to come over and clean out your cabinet.
No.
Yeah. It's always a guy that kind of looks like Mickey Gall.
By the way, Mickey Gall will be in studio in 2 weeks,
nice.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Cool.
Texted me last night, I think. Yeah, last night. And said, hey, Tib, I'll be in L.A. that week, and I would love to come in the studio and put Ari in a heel hook or ankle lock or leg bar or arm bar. And then he just went on. He's just listing moves for, like, the next. I'm like, Mickey, hey, hey, we get it. You want to take Tripoli out? No problem. We'll let you do it.
Oh, I thought he said Ari. I was going to say, you got to find him first.
Yeah. I miss Ari. You know what just happened? You know, just for a goof, I called his number. And it's like, and it's been like, what, since January? He's been gone forever. And he's a busy guy even when he's not gone forever. Like, you know, if Ari goes, like, camping for 2 days, his inbox is full. Like, you can't even leave him a voicemail. So just for a goof, I just called his number. Because, you know, you have, like, in your iPhone, you have your numbers, and then you have, like, your 12 or whatever favorites, ones you call all the time. I was going through there, and Ari's name was in there. I was like, ah, that fucking guy. Where the fuck is this idiot? So I called him just for a goof because it'd be so funny. He was like, oh, hello. We're like, where the hell have you been? And it's just right to the, you know, his inbox is full. So then I tweeted, Ari, your inbox is full. You know how many where is Ari tweets or texts or I don't really get phone calls, weird DMs from fans that I get weekly for Ari.
So what's your answer? Do you know?
He's cool. Because everyone's like, man, I'm worried about him. I'm like, you don't even know. One, that's cute.
Yeah.
And that's nice. You're a fan. You miss him. And but you don't know Ari. I mean, you're not worried about Ari. And if there was something to be worried about, all of us that know him would be doing something about it. It's not like we're just like, yeah, man, I heard he's in some sort of fucking Russian concentration camp. But anyways, guys, welcome to Punch Drunk. I don't give a shit. You know. He's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally said, I'm out. When I'm sick of doing this, I'll come back.
But he could be in a Russian concentration camp.
Nick Youssef said it best last night when he goes, Ari is probably in some, like, Thai prison for trying to smuggle drugs across some fucking border.
And all his great friends are just sitting around. He's fine. He said he was going to be away.
Yeah.
While he's begging for somebody to come looking for him, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, I get a lot of those for Ari. Like, where is he, man? I miss him, man. But it just dawned on me the other day. I mean, I always miss him, but I really miss him on this show.
Yep.
Like, he really is such an important X factor in the show.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and I was just like, oh, man, when Ari comes back, it's going to be a blast. Not that it hasn't been fun. Not that we haven't had good guests. Our numbers are going up. To sound like Sam Tripoli briefly. So I'm not saying I don't enjoy doing it now. I'm just saying, not only do I miss Ari just as a dumb fuck being around, I miss him on the show. I miss getting people to look at his dick, even though it drives Sam nuts, but that's part of what I like about it. You know, if Sam was like, that's the funniest thing in the world, I might like it a little less. But the fact that Sam is screaming, no, 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 not again, not again, makes it just that much better. So we got Ren Azizi coming in the studio pretty soon, too. Those guys are doing a cool thing here at All Things Comedy we were talking about before the show, but I'll give them a free plug. Court McCown, and who you guys all know, has been on this show. He's our golf correspondent. He is the best golfer that all of us know. He's the one guy that nobody can beat in golf. He's an incredible golfer. And a PGA caddy. which is such an interesting thing. He talked about that on the show. Him and Steve Renazzisi are going to be doing the Masters alive, kind of like a fight companion.
Live commentary with video. Yeah.
Yep, live commentary with video. And Bill Burr is going to be there.
That's going to be also funny.
He's going to call in.
Oh,
okay. San Antonio for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Stand up, but yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There may be some surprise guests. Some pro golfers may call in. Guys, at
I heard that as well. Yeah. Yep.
Ooh.
And I heard Ari's going to be there. So if you guys want to tune in to see that,
just Ari's belt.
Oh, God, I miss it. We're going to have to start getting more dick on this show. You know what I mean? We don't show enough cock. Ari was my go-to cock.
Definitely gone way down since
well, the funny thing was before we got this studio number, I believe, 5, yeah. At studio number 2.
Yeah.
It would just be live. Like, our YouTube would just get killed almost every other week because... We're looking at, the fans are looking at, even when Ari was on Skype, that's in the little corner up there.
So they would pull it from YouTube?
Yeah.
So do you think it gets reported?
We got flagged. Well, eventually people started getting cool. I think it was earlier in the days when people were just randomly looking at podcasts, mm-hmm. like, oh, what will this can't go wrong. Oh, I like sports and I like comedians. Oh, man. Now I'm looking at somebody's taint. You know what I mean? Ari's opening his pee hole and making a talk like, hey, everybody. I say let him go. So we got flagged a couple times. But then all of a sudden that just kind of quit going away. So I don't know. Maybe all of our fans just got super cool or something. I don't know. But eventually it did sort of go away.
When I noticed Aaron is really quick on the draw when they're live and they go to Ari here, he kills that video box anytime.
Do you have a delay?
Anytime he moves.
There's no delay for you.
No,
right?
He just cuts it though, I think. And
there's a delay for what goes out, but I don't have any control of what hits it.
What is the chain of command, for you to get in trouble? Like, let's say it happens, it goes out, where does it blow up in your face? What are you afraid of? That's my question. What are you afraid of?
After the fart funnel incident episode, I think I've come to the realization that you guys will get in trouble first. So I'm okay.
What gave you that realization?
Because that day I freaked out like I was going to be fired.
Oh,
so what you're saying is after the fart funnel thing happened, you realize, hey, this kind of ain't my thing. It's on them. It's not on me.
Yeah, I think that's the perspective I gained eventually.
So what does this mean for anal bleaching? Because I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, here's my thought. What if it's just like, so the camera's right here. What if it's just, or wherever we put it, and it's just Ari's side. So you only see side butt. You get a lot of side butt on TV.
Yeah.
And then it just looks like she's playing Operation.
You get side butt in prime time.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, that could be okay. I just don't know how we'd do it in here. We're smaller now.
You could probably see that thing in the middle of it.
Yeah, it might have to be a closed set.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It might just have to be like you, Ari.
Do I have to be here?
Yeah. We got to get Renazzisi here, though.
Oh, dude.
Because that's what I was getting at. It's like we got to get him in here, and we got to get – because he hasn't thrown up in the studio yet.
Oh,
well, we do have the floor for it.
He's thrown up in 4 studios.
Yeah.
Wow, 4 studios.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember all of them? What were they?
I remember the story that – well, I was trying to tell him this story forever, mm-hmm. which is you got to really – to shock me or to get me to go, Hank, stop it. Don't finish this. Stop. To get me to do that. It's got to be a really fucking fucked up story.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of shit. All my friends are complete dumb fucks that send you gross shit all the time. From the minute cell phones could send pictures, I was getting horrible things from all of my degenerate fucking scumbag friends that are all fucking 40 going on 13. And I heard a story that I knew Renazzisi would throw up because he can't even hear stories about dogs pooping. Even if you use the word poop, Dude, I saw this dog. Because someone's like, I saw this dog pooping. And he's like, stop, stop, stop. I go, and it wasn't me telling the story. It was like, and I was like, stop, wait a minute. What do you mean stop? He goes, man, I got a real weak fucking stomach. Like, I can't even hear.
What a curse.
I can't even hear, like, stories about dogs pooping or anything like that. Because, you know, it's like anything.
Can he see dogs pooping?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think. Not up close.
Oh, man.
So, and that just made me laugh so hard. It's one of those things, like, instantly I knew I was going to try to start telling them some horrible things just to kind of test that. So I heard the worst, most disgusting thing I'd ever heard. And I was so taken back by the story that – and it almost made me throw up that I was like, I got to tell Ren Azizi the story. So I would start – I go, hey, man, I got a story for you. He was like, oh, yeah. What? And I would start telling him, and then he would – fucking not let me tell it. So then he would start running away in public when we were doing. He would start running, so I would start running. So now we're like running down Sunset on the sidewalk as I'm like yelling more of the story to him. You know, we come back to get back to the comedy store. We both got our hands on our knees. They're like, "Why are you guys so tired?" I'm like, "Just trying to finish this story." Anyways, so and back in the old, like the original old school naughty show. When it was just Sam and I in Red Band's apartment, we had this guest on, I believe Ashley Blue, and she was notorious for, like, she's the girl that would do crazy, crazy things in pornography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not just, like, I'm not talking about doggy style. I'm not talking about reverse cowgirl. I'm talking about crazy shit. So we're like, oh, yeah, we'll get her on there. She's super sweet and super nice, and... I'm like, yeah, this can't go wrong. We'll ask to see, you know, I wasn't expected to get my, you know. So here's the story that, this is the story where he threw up.
Okay.
And then we locked him in.
What club is this?
So
this is still in Red Band's apartment?
This was at Joint Studios.
Okay.
So this was our.
Up for a Punchy nomination this year.
Second, yeah, of course it is. So first we were at Toad Hop, then, so this is our third studio. This is our third studio. So third vomiting. One story was about a girl I know that as a kid. Now I didn't know. I don't know her now. But as a kid, there was this girl that would eat frozen cat shit in the winter.
Yeah, that's a thing.
You know what I mean? And just would bite it and break it off and all this. So you know, I would go in and make it a little more elaborate, and you know, just kind of make it disgusting about it melting in her mouth and her just sucking on it. You know, it gets grosser. It gets grosser when you think about some little kid just like,
oh jeez,
like it's a fucking popsicle.
Yeah, okay.
So, because eventually that thing's gonna start tasting like shit, literally.
You got him with that one.
Yeah, that was okay. So. But then this story from this Ashley Blue, which is just you're like. God. And so she was, there's several times in the story where I'm like, I'll try to tell it. So she was in a giant bukkake scene.
Yeah.
And because the question to her is, what's the craziest thing you've been asked to do or you've seen?
Mm.
So she's like, there was this bukkake scene with this woman who... Like 50 guys are beating off on her face. So right there, when you're thinking 50 dudes worth of cum.
That's a lot, yeah.
On her face.
Yeah. That's, you don't have enough face for that.
Yeah, really. You don't have enough face for that. And eventually you're hitting a point of diminishing returns. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
Howdy.
Sorry to interrupt.
Steve Renazzisi.
Welcome
to the show, Steve.
Sit
right here. Magical will be here in a little bit. I was
sure
just telling
will.
A story.
Sure he will. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey,
how
man.
You?
Good to see you again. Hey.
And I just plugged the Masters thing you're
doing. We got to come up with a title. Why does everything need a title? It's the Masters. They already came up with a title.
Yeah, there is a title for it.
I think that might cause some Google search engine problems, people Googling the Masters.
I was
just telling this story. Let me wrap this up,
and then we'll get into
your thing. No, it's perfect. It's actually
I got her as soon as I could.
Perfect timing. No, I appreciate it. And so 50 guys worth amount of cum.
What?
I was just talking about this girl I know.
Okay.
So 50 guys worth of cum on her face, which is a lot of, I mean, you're running out of real estate. You run out of real estate at like guy 15, right?
Hold, can I ask a question? Because I just looked at the clock and I see you've been on for roughly 19 minutes now.
Yeah.
So there's a few I have, but you can pick which one you want to answer. Okay. Have we gone guy by guy? Has the story lasted long enough to tell each individual 50 man's journey, each 50, each one of the 50 men's journey to the Mount of Cum?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
We're just getting started.
And then is this part of the clean hour of the show now? I just wanted to make sure because I don't know if like, we're trying to get this out before Magical gets here.
Magical's going to be on in the second hour.
Yeah, because if, let's just say hypothetically I was Al.
Yeah.
This, sure. I don't think he would. All right, but don't let me interrupt. I want you to get through this.
Oh yeah, because this really isn't about the 50 guys. It's more about it's more of a story about redemption,
redemption, and so, perseverance.
Yeah. So here's where the story takes a crazy turn. Not all, because it's impossible to do all, but a lot of the seed from these 50 gentlemen.
Yeah.
She has collected in some sort of trough, like a Pyrex thing, under her chin. Right? And you're like, God, where is this going? This can't go good, I think. But it goes way worse than I thought.
Of course it does.
Dude.
Wait, this is a true story. Out in the this is in the woods, right? So, pours this shit onto a hot grill and makes like this cum omelet and then eats it. And then she eats it.
I'm not
going to
be a part of this.
Wait.
I'm not going to be a part
of this show. Come back, dude. Come on.
I'm not going to throw up. You're not going to make me throw up.
That was the story that you walked in on. How did I know that had anything to do with you?
You're not going
to
make me throw up, okay?
This has nothing to do with you throwing up.
I'm part of all things comedy now, and I can't be able to show my face here, man.
That's true. Welcome to the family.
So if I puke every time, because it's disgusting.
Wow.
There's nothing disgusting about that. That's a lady that.
It's a setup. I'm probably sure it was a setup. you wanted to go into this thing as soon as I walked in the door.
It was not a setup. It really was mid-story.
Really was mid-story of that.
God wanted that to happen.
Yeah, God wanted that to happen.
Yeah.
Congrats on the podcast.
Thanks. It comes out again today. Paul Scheer's the guest today. He did great. We did this book.
Oh, good.
What's the book?
The Hike.
The Hike.
It's got to be fun having all the guys one by one, like when they're in town,
I've done a couple of them. Nick was in New York for a long time. I'm sure I'll get him soon. John.
Yeah.
John's making music now.
Love him.
Yeah, he's the best.
I was happy when he got that show with you. I was happy for you to get the league, but I was happy to see that he was on it because he was the first person cast.
I had no idea who he was.
I was already a giant fan of his from his
YouTube stuff.
All of his YouTube stuff. I found him to be just hilarious. He was Canadian.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I didn't know if he did gigs live. I didn't know if he did stand up.
Guitar stuff. He made the videos, but he was on like a 90210 of Canada.
Oh, is that right?
For a couple years.
Okay, I didn't know that.
In French. English is his second language. So every time like we improvise, like he has to almost train. Like he does it in French, and then in his mouth.
Not out of his mouth, though. That'd be weird.
He's done it before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then that fucks us all up.
You're like, I'm sure that was a good singer, but no
idea.
Sounds like you want a bagel.
Like, c'est soir.
Yeah. When is it air live?
What?
Your pod.
The podcast, no. Every Tuesday I put a new one out.
Okay.
So, I mean, I do like intros and outros that are, you know, like timely.
Yeah, recorded and whatever.
Right around there. But the you know, we do the interviews whenever we do them. Yeah. So, but it's been a blast. I've had a good time doing it. And then Sunday doing this Masters thing.
Exciting.
It's going to be fun.
This is one of your favorite sports. I mean, you're wearing a Callaway hat. You look like you just probably even golfed within the last 40 hours.
Oh, 40 hours. Yeah, I hit some balls. But, it's going to be Court McCowan and I. I mean, if you're not a golf fan, you know, golf's pretty boring. But we're going to spice it up a bit.
I imagine that would be one of the most fun ways to watch the Masters is listening to the two of you.
Yeah, I think Bill Burr is going to come in and do some stuff with it too, or Skype in. And we got some tour players that we're going to also Skype in. You know, guys, and not everybody makes the Masters. So,
yeah.
We have some people that are going to call in, and it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Oh. See how perfect that were.
Did you want to bring that story back up again?
No, we're done. It's story's over. Cool. Ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, Al?
Good. One of my favorite people, one of my real buds, hello. Al Madrigal.
You're on the air now?
He is today.
I have no host.
Well, I do want to talk to him about something because he was at the game. He went from North Carolina, went to Arizona.
Oh. Wow.
Was at the game.
Mm. Yeah.
And then drove back to come do the show. So
Tripoli's not here. We're not talking about jizz farts.
We're not talking about anything disgusting.
Oh, wow. We're going to actually talk about sports on Punch Drunk Sports?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. You zip it.
Don't you dare.
No, we got a story out right when he was walking
when
in.
When I walked in, there was a colorful story being told that I caught the tail end of that I had just chimed in and I didn't think you would approve of, and luckily I came before you did.
Yeah, it was a misunderstanding.
But in his story, everybody came, just so that you know.
I don't think she did. No, I'm pretty sure
she did. Do people actually tune in to, this is something to consider, do people actually tune in to Punch Drunk Sports to hear about sports?
Yes. Who are you asking? Is that for everybody?
That's for everyone.
What do you mean hear about sports?
Well,
I don't think anybody looks at us as their news.
No. Yeah. No. Well, it's commentary. It's sports commentary is what you're looking for, right?
Yeah, but they like our opinions on certain things. You know what we get a lot of when it comes to like sports fans is after a big UFC, people want to know what we thought about it. Falcons in a Super Bowl, people were the whole Falcons run.
Yeah,
the Cubs run.
Being a huge Falcons fan.
The Cubs as well. Everybody was tuning in to hear, you know, Clippers falling apart.
We didn't talk about baseball at all, but they wanted to tune in for it.
Exactly. This guy. Hey, you ever think about giving him, taking some of his money away? We were talking about this earlier.
He is here out of the kindness of his own heart. Trust me.
Don't I know it.
Yeah.
Anyway, you went to this game.
I did, yeah.
How many people were there?
80,000?
It's 77,000. It was sold out.
Yeah. Massive.
Yeah, it's way too big for basketball. There's not a good seat in the house, really.
Really?
It's terrible.
How were your seats?
Don't they always do that, though?
I mean, they would have been great seats for football, end zone seats, but you could barely... I mean, I watched most of the game on the damn TV.
With other Carolina fans just jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Present with those fans, that's a huge to experience that with other
Carolina
people.
Yeah, I get pretty nervous. So I had to get up and walk around a lot.
Why? Because it was just too much?
I was there last year, too, and it was just...
How many times did the lead change in that game, too? I
mean, especially late.
A ton, yeah. I think maybe 7 or 8 or something.
In the last 10 minutes, a lot.
The last, from minute 4, minute 5 to minute, 3, there was, 15 lead changes.
I looked at my son right when that kid, Gauss, hurt his leg or twisted his ankle.
That ankle.
Yeah, that was
and it. Just should, I don't care how hot he is, somebody else needs to come in.
He got blocked the next shot.
Yeah, exactly. That was a huge mistake to just go with the hot hand when this guy's hobbling around.
Are you a college basketball fan?
I like basketball so much, but I didn't go to a big powerhouse school like this, and so I went to USF in San Francisco.
Yeah,
the Dons, Bill Russell.
Yeah,
that was it. But I do like NBA basketball and NFL football are my two big things.
Which one is more? Because in my, long-term friendship with you, you are Niners number one to me, and then you're Golden State number two
just
to me.
Is that very, true? Very close. Though.
Yeah, but they're close.
I watch every single Golden State Warrior game, and I have since maybe, 78, 79.
That's paying off.
Wow. Yeah.
Lucky you.
No, it took a long time.
Yeah, you earned that.
Fans. Oh, for sure.
When they're good, I think of, there's a few people where I'm like, oh, no, he always liked them.
Yeah.
There's all these people that come out of I know a lot of people.
Mitch Richmond?
Sure.
The year that Mitch Richmond.
Mitch Richmond, that was fun.
Yeah. I was just thinking about on the way over here how long I've known these guys. So I've known Tripoli and Teebs since 1999.
Probably.
And I came down. It was the first show I ever did in L.A., and it was when Brian Jarvis, who introduced me to my wife.
I knew your wife before I knew you. I knew her through Jarv. I met her up there when I was up there doing shows up there.
Jeez. Did you hear the way he said that? I knew my wife. I knew your wife before you knew
Actually,
her.
I knew both your wives for
what the
very, very long time.
What the fuck, man?
I know the shit out of your wife.
Jesus, dude. I don't even know my wife that well.
No. I mean, you know how you know somebody, but you really know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
I'm glad we're all friends.
Cool, bro. Yeah, nice. No, I don't know. I mean, we're more
colleagues. Yeah, no, we're good. Yeah, we're I mean, I don't know you the way I know your wife.
But dear friend, her. So, I met Did you and I meet in San Fran, or did we meet when you came
down? No, I went when we came down. Okay, yeah, because you guys were doing joke pimps or some sort of sketch group. Yeah, we shaved somebody's head on stage.
Jarvis and I both shaved our heads on stage. We thought Duncan Trussell had cancer in the sketch because he left with a bald cap on. Clearly a bald cap. Hair's jamming out everywhere. said, fuck you, I'm out of this show. I got a Kojak audition for the big new Kojak movie. so he leaves in a trench coat. One of those. We're like, dude, he... There ain't no Kojak movie, man. You saw his head. Dude, Duncan has cancer. So this montage, Duncan's mom sent us all these pictures of him growing up. This montage of Duncan's life plays while that Kermit the Frog song is playing.
Oh, God.
And Jarvis and I are just crying, shaving our head in solidarity. So we just turn on. So he comes back, twirling the bald cap, saying he nailed the audition, and we just have clunks of hair left. Like, we were like, well, after this sketch, we're going to be bald.
That's a sketch you can only do once every 6 months.
Exactly right.
They had me do a set, and I've been doing comedy.
After that?
No, well, maybe.
No, because that was the big closer, because then it went to a Kojak musical number.
But I did a set, so I do a set before this thing, and I did the thing with all these L.A. comedians, because everybody's sus, they're all buddies. And then some guy comes from out of town and had never seen me before and just had looked out into the judgiest fucking group of assholes.
It a bad set? You thought you had a bad set?
I think it was okay. It took me time to win people over. I closed with that Jerry Jewell thing.
That's a tough room, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we had like...
Where was it?
It was Franklin?
No, I mean to say... For us to do an elaborate sketch show to throw a comic up in the front half and a comic up in the back half while we have to do, like, change out of costumes and stuff. And we're like, oh, you know, my buddy will do 15 minutes or whatever. That's what I mean. It's a tough
one.
It was a packed room.
Yeah.
But to watch three fucking crazy sketches with me and Brian Jarvis in straitjackets.
Well, where is Tripoli right now? What's he doing?
Calgary.
Calgary.
Yeah, doing stand-up.
He's not going to... call in or anything?
You never know with him, but bro, I'm just going to let you do it, bro. It's weird.
He's not calling in.
He's not calling in.
I thought he was going to be here. We had to have a talk.
Oh, you were going to have a talk with him?
Yeah.
You were going to give him a talking to?
I was going to give him a little talking to.
Live on air?
Possibly. A little bit off air, a little live on air.
Why?
Because I feel like he's constantly chasing something that he just really needs to settle into being himself. And is anybody giving him shit for those new glasses?
Everybody. Yeah.
I think he likes it. Oh, well, he definitely likes the glasses. He bought them.
Yeah.
But he was talking to me. He's like, man, people either love them or they hate them.
No, everyone hates them.
He's being destroyed on Twitter.
I actually kind of like him. Do you hate him?
I hate them. He
really?
Looks like fucking MC Hammer meets a lumberjack half the time. Have you seen these things?
A chainsaw in his hand, but drop crotch pants.
I saw a picture of him, but I haven't seen him live.
They're big.
That new Adam
Are they like
Sandler.
Dices? You know how Dice wears like the big grandpa glasses?
They look like safety glasses, right?
Safety glasses.
You know what? They kind of look like safety glasses because they're clear.
But they're for all the time?
You know how Kevin Christie wears those clear glasses sometimes?
Yeah.
They're like it's clear, but then these are bigger, so he looks like he's a white rapper.
Is that them?
I'm working on it. Hold on. It'll be just a second.
There it is.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Dude.
Safety. He looks like he's going to
weld. He looks like Sam Rothstein.
When
he's trying to make the bets at the end, he puts those big glasses down.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it really
big.
Is.
This is a bad eyewear. Anyway.
Practically, though, I mean, those have got to be pretty good for your field of view, when you think.
Well, there's no spots. It's missing.
Exactly.
Look at it. They're humongous.
And they're not clear making that around choice. The edges. I don't know. He said.
I don't mind them. I like them.
Really?
Well, they're not what everybody else is wearing. I mean, all of us have the exact same pair of glasses on.
What does he have that he can't? And why do you have? I thought glasses. I've never had.
I imagine you to be pretty much legally blind.
I am.
Yeah,
I am too.
You can't even get the surgery.
Rejected. No, not even close. I have astigmatism. One of my eyes, my left one, is football shaped. Mm-hmm. Apparently,
what?
Yeah,
your eyeball is football shaped,
and his other eye is other eye beach ball.
Then the other thing is. My eyes started to reject my contact lenses. So when I was doing this TV show that I got coming out on Showtime where my character...
Which looks great, by the way.
Yes, it was super cool. But I wear no glasses, so I was forcing contacts into my eyes, and it was torture. It was just nonstop. There's ladies would rush.
So you could wear contacts, and then you could not.
Changed. My eyes completely rejected my contacts.
From the beginning, or you used to wear them?
I wore
a little
contacts in fourth grade. I was saying,
really?
Yeah.
What fourth grader knows how to put contact lenses
in?
It was
a mess. I did.
Really?
I had them as a kid. Yeah.
I guess you have to. Glass too. It's like putting a fucking.
I have gas permeable contact lenses that are like these little chips that you throw in your fucking eye. Anyway.
Oh, so, but you can't get the surgery.
No, I was leaving. This is not a choice. Like, this beard that I have, I've tried to shave a couple times just because I hate my kids to go, please, why have you done this? Please grow it back. You look horrible. Look at your face.
No, I just shaved my beard the other day. My youngest goes, you look new.
You look new.
When your dad shaves his mustache, like, this is how you look.
No. This is a stranger fucking mom.
So anyway, I was going to give him shit about the glasses. And then he seems to have so many people accuse me of having schemes going on. Like, he has so many schemes.
He's a hustler.
He told me that the other day. Actually, it wasn't a
hustler. Is another.
He does a pole dancing karaoke thing that he's like, this is the greatest show on earth. Like not only am like. I know you're a talented comedian, writer, podcaster, but now you're some sort of P.T. Barnum of some pole dancing karaoke show.
Right.
He's attempting to build a sports network off using all of ATC's resources without involving ATC in any way. He has another podcast that he's using in RSS. Who knows how many fucking podcasts he's in here trying to do.
He does have a lot of pods.
He's here more than I am. He's got, like, you can't walk in without fucking seeing him. And then.
Does he have keys to the place?
I'm sure he does. Like, hey, Gloria, how was your weekend? Like, he knows all the employees.
Gloria.
Who's fucking
Gloria? I hope there's a Gloria here.
So then he.
Hi, Sam.
So he has this RSS feed. Oh, he had the Naughty Show. He should just stick to what he's great at, and that's whisperer. Like, he's a whore whisperer. That's what he...
Whore whisperer.
That's not... That could never be the name of the show, but that should be it. Like, he's great at talking to whores, right?
He's not...
That's a lost art for him as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Why does he have so many... I knew he had the conspiracy theory one, too.
I think he has that.
Trust me. There was International Bad
Boys. I think that's
Boys.
Gone.
So, but yeah, there was
he's
that. There was Naughty
that's
Show.
Gone.
He's had a lot.
There was Naughty Show. Mm-hmm. Now there's Tin Foil Hat. He's got Punch Drunk. I'm sure he's trying to start three more. And you know of this.
I don't actually. I mean, I know he's working with he's trying to start the network. Yeah, I mean, we're going to do that, but...
Starting a network inside another network without consulting that network.
This is like Jason Bourne stuff.
He certainly plans to consult the other network.
I go, what contracts are you using? He goes, we're using your contracts.
We're just crossing off the top.
Yeah.
Just change the date, change the names. That's it, bro. It's not hard.
All right. I need to be consulted on some of this stuff as soon as possible.
Here we go. Business talk.
Yeah. Business talk.
Let's get
really
down
magical.
To business.
Our plan is to get so far down the road that you have no choice but to agree to most of the things.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's called hostile takeover, Magical. Have you heard of a hostile takeover?
That's right. He's just like a virus.
One day Gloria's going to be like, but Sam said change the locks, so I did.
Change the locks. I'm glorious.
Al's outside. I can't get
he's
in.
He's outside with his lunchbox and his coffee thermos. And she's like, I'm so sorry,
I'm so
Al.
Sorry, Mr. Al. Mr. Sam said.
So you moved down here with, because you were still up there. You came down here and did that thing.
I came down here in 2003.
Okay.
So I met you 4 years before I even moved down.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And then Sam, same thing. Duncan, same thing. You were one of the first people I met when I walked into the comedy store because you and Caparulo would be playing football in the parking lot. Sam was a door guy?
No. Sam wasn't a door guy when I was there.
Uh-uh.
No.
He was just around.
Door guys.
I don't think Sam worked there.
Yeah. Me.
Caparulo, you, Simone.
Simone, Jason Lucas, Ramos, Dave Taylor. Ari Taylor. Wasn't a door guy then.
Yeah, all those.
Ari
worked Danis and Ramos, Ramos, were they?
All those Mexican gone. Guys really wanted
Ingram got there then, around, well, a little later, but yeah, who else were the door guys then? Harris was like the main guy. Do you remember Harris?
Yeah. Harris Pete, did, yeah, so yep. You know all about.
Oh,
he was the
guy.
Front door guy like every night.
So he had a deal with Jay Leno. For those of you who don't know, so when you go into the Comedy Store, the world famous Comedy Store, there's door guys that they employ and they're comedians. So Steve was one of them and you'd be around the club so much they'd give you a job. And Mitzi had always sort of done this. And there was one older door guy named Harris Pete who would – he'd sort of – taught you the ropes, right?
Yeah, well, not the good way. Not to be like you just
you weren't. It's not an honorable profession.
No, but it was like he taught you the ropes of like how
to be shady and get away with it.
Shady and get away with stuff.
Are you talking about comedy or the ropes? Of
no, no, the ropes of like working at the door.
How to scam money?
Yeah,
how to fuck
yeah, that kind of stuff.
Which actually bring you back to I'm Dying Up Here. We use some of that. In I'm Dying Up Here because one of our comics gets made a door guy. Right?
Although we do still police ourselves. The other day, there's this new guy. I don't know what door. I don't know half the people there anymore. It's terrible. But like, there's this door guy I saw. He was seating the room, and I was going on third. And Argus is on, and I see him seating the room. But there's people in the middle of the OR, and then all the booths are taken. So he's going by. I go, hey, come here. I go, you charging for booths? And he goes, yeah. I go, good. All right. I just want to make sure that you're not letting all these people just talk you in. I go, that's valuable real estate.
Absolutely.
That's where you're making your money. So at least people now, at least they know now.
Oh,
you
they're,
still,
they're pretty good with
side
it.
Income.
If you're a fan of stand-up comedy, you got to watch this fucking show because that is almost like an episode towards the end of the season.
Really?
Oh, really?
Gets made a door guy. And Clark Duke, who's a very funny comic actor, doesn't realize how it sort of works.
I got taught the trick from Harris that he got taught from Sam Kinison. When they would seat the room, there were two door guys in the main room. So there would be a line, and they would use the same $20 bill, right? So if one guy was standing there, the other guy would come back and go to one door. The door guy would come back, would hand the 20 to the other guy, go, hey, that guy just tipped us $20. He wanted the boost. So now everyone in the line knows it's a $20 minimum. Precedent's been set. Yeah. You want any good seats, you're getting in 20. We did that for Smothers Brothers, Rick Ramos and I, and we both cleared $375.
Wow.
Nice.
Each
and these
one
are
of
kids
us.
How
are
making
they? No money.
Smothers Brothers?
Yeah.
They were, I mean, do you remember those?
I loved them.
The main room show, the main room was never used except for on Saturday. So they were like, well, what can we do? We had this manager, Shelly. She's like, so she started bringing in older acts. So she brought in the Smothers Brothers on a Thursday, and they pack the place.
Oh, okay. How old were they then?
Old. This is really probably old. 10 years ago, and they're now they're in their 80s, so late 70s, mid-70s.
I had a pretty extensive comedy collection.
Really?
Comedy album collection. And all the albums I have, the Smothers Brothers are one that I put at the top of the list that holds up more than anything else.
They're really funny. What are you basing that? Like your thing or just like laughs?
My
crushing?
Preference? No, just like, this is material that you could go out with today and would still kill.
Which is a bold statement for a lot of that, especially wax. A lot of that stuff is very perishable. You know, it has a shelf life to it. But you see something from that's what's so amazing. You know, you know who's great at that? Carson. You watch a lot of Johnny Carson now. And you're like, fuck, dude, that's funny
still
right
good.
Now.
Yeah. Still good, still holds up. And then Red Fox and I think Cosby, those stories still sort of work. And, you know, obviously.
Which
you
ones
know,
don't?
I'd say 80% of them. Mm-hmm. Like there's Martin Mull who's singing, had put out like four albums. And, you know, these are like pioneers. This is like music. This is like saying, okay, what music doesn't work today? There's some songs that are just classics.
Totally
but then
agree.
I have that Sirius XM. You switch to the 50s channel and it doesn't really work that much anymore. So it's difficult to compare. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for this character that I was working on, I looked at a lot of Freddie Prinze.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Puerto Rican guy walks into a store.
Is your character based on Freddie Prinze?
A little bit. And Cheech.
Okay.
And then a little Mencia in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Freddie Prinze was just like a fucking natural, right? He was like 22, 23.
Super charming.
Charming, took over and like was on the Tonight Show
but that was
real early.
He showed up, had a great set at the Comedy Store, got a Tonight Show set, got Chico and the Man, got a fur coke and a coke addiction, and was dead.
But I mean, that was everything, right? Carson, going on Carson,
going
I mean,
on
that make your career.
Carson was the thing. If you got to, like, you know, up until like Drew Carey, you could go on Carson and become famous right away.
But like then, everyone knew your name the next
the
day.
The flip side of that is that comedians couldn't afford to eat. And Tom Dreesen would go to Kentucky Fried Chicken every single day and get like a clucking for a buck or something like that, whereas he ate a chicken thigh and a corn on the cob every day for 2 years.
I had dinner with him in Chicago not too recently. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. We both did the Laugh Factory. And he's like part owner of the Chicago one or whatever. And hung out afterwards and then went out to eat. So I got to kind of pick his brain. It was fucking
fascinating. But he has all those great stories.
Oh, my God. Man.
So Argus Hamilton in 1973, they were on the opposite sides of this strike that was
taking
place.
He talked about
that
a lot, actually. Yeah,
because we had him into I'm Dying Up Here as a consultant. So he told us about all that shit.
Fucking real nice guy, huh? Cool. It's cool to hear people like that have been through it. They just they were actually there. Not like I read every book about it. Like they're talking about me in that book. You know?
Totally. Yeah, it's there's a lot of not getting paid that you got to hustle, which brings us back to Sam Tripoli. You got to hustle your ass off, but then at some point you know who you are and you start.
You just give up.
Well, no. You can.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
You know all those other dreams that you have? They just die and go away. And whatever dreams at top, you just put everything
in
there.
I feel like there's a lot of people who put on shows that can't get stage time otherwise. Like I'm doing the show at the Laugh Factory. Like there's professional like hosts and promoters.
Like
and
theme shows,
like
you mean?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like Sam is a Comedy Store regular and beyond that, and he still kept doing it, if that makes any sense.
Maybe he likes
it.
I see what you're saying.
I think he's just trying to get paid.
Yeah. No, that's...
I think it's like, hey, man, if I promote a show at the Comedy Store, I make X amount of money. If I just do a regular spot, I get $15.
Because, by the way, to go back to your point you were making before, we still only make $20 a spot.
Yeah.
15, yeah. Is it they raise 20
now.
20?
20.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is 20 after I asked the question because we were doing main room shows every night.
You pack the main room. You pack the main
every
room
night,
and you promote
from
it?
January, the whole month of January, the main room was Monday, Tuesday, all the nights in the main room. So I go, we're splitting the door on all these nights to Adam. And he's like, and I was like,
Yeah.
We split the door the night that's how the main room works.
Every night you're
and
in the main
next
room.
Thing you know, we went from 15 to 20. He goes, well, you got $5 raise. And I was like, okay.
No, you're trying to tell me that they didn't, when they take a show, an OR show, and bring it into the main room and sell out, they're not splitting that?
Nope.
Oh.
No.
I say,
which is the first question I asked.
Yeah, let's strike again. I'll be the Freddie Prinze character.
I'll sign up for
Freddie
Prinze.
I just want to wear a fur coat and do coke one night.
There you go.
Die. Well, look what you did, Adam. Look what you did to him. You caused this.
Yeah, Argus was there for all that shit. Argus just picked the one side and just went with it.
Yeah, there was other guys like Mike Binder, I think.
Binder was around then,
Argus
too, right?
Side.
Also a cool guy.
There was guys that crossed over. But you also hear about these stories of all those comics that who is it? Tim Thomason or
Tim Thomerson?
Thomason, the guy that did that cowboy thing. The whole
all this, like, what's that guy doing?
I did a show with him.
I don't know what he's
in
doing. I
Fantasy
imagine.
Springs Casino. Me, Ari, Simone, and Tim Thomerson.
Where does he go? What
I
happens
don't know.
To him?
I mean, he's a road guy. I think
he's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's maybe a character. Doesn't
he's
he do like, some character acting
no,
as well?
Just
oh yeah, he
go
was
away.
like you know, 80. Look at it. Look at all those pictures. That's like 80s.
Oh, yeah.
How the
shit.
Looks like he's working.
Is he? Was he on The Walking Dead this week? Oh, no.
Oh, he's an actor.
Yeah, he's an actor.
All kinds of shit.
He has that rodeo bit that's like...
that's
what
this.
I meant.
That's
like
cowboys
and
he's in Trancers.
That's like Angela Johnson's nails person bit.
Oh, he...
Yeah, works video games, yeah.
The voice, yeah.
Voice acting, yeah.
204 credits as an actor.
Check his net worth. You can find it.
Do you really think that
is any of that shit accurate?
I don't know,
but I'll tell you right now. If it comes up, if it comes up, it's going to come up like $40 million.
$2 million.
We're going to kill ourselves.
$2 million.
$2 million. That's probably about right.
Nice hair. Wow. Look at this hair.
By the way, just as a correction, the Smothers Brothers are both alive.
I thought.
Thank
that.
God.
Yeah. Jeez, why would you say that?
Oh, look at
God.
I think I confused them with the Everly Brothers. Sorry.
The Doobie Brothers.
There's a lot of brothers.
Yeah. They're 80 and 77.
Isley Brothers.
The Isley Brothers.
The Gibbs.
Yep.
Only one of them.
Now, are you a single man? Are you married? Or
I am a single man.
And
yes.
There are a lot of hot North Carolina chicks at this Glendale, Arizona. I'm just saying, what would Sam Tripoli do?
He would have a nice time. Yeah.
We went to a UCLA game.
Yeah.
We went to a Clipper
game.
We had the
same story, I'm
He's
sure.
sitting next, so it's like me, somebody, then Tripoli, and then two 17-year-old girls, both with braces on. We talked about it on the show last week. Both with braces on, in tank tops. And they were what Ari and I described as smooth fat, which is like, at 17, no, exactly, yeah, it looks all right. But it's almost like popping fresh dough. Like, pretty soon it's just going to be. And yeah. You know what I mean? It's not going to be so attractive. But they're right at that breaking point. But they're, you know, they're both have braces on.
Oh, God.
And, dude, so it's like, you know, like Clippers would score and everyone high five. You look at Sam and he's just. Staring at them, dancing for the Jumbotron and shit. It was like, bro.
That's why he has those glasses.
And so, I got also preface this with, I not only have I known Sam for a long time, but I have been friends with him for a long time. I hooked him up with a writer recently because he.
So you partners- think he'll forgive you for all this?
Oh, no. I've said it to him a million times, directly to his face. So that's what I just don't want people who are listening and punch drunk loyalists to start fucking tweeting.
Oh, it's too late, man.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
I
hooked him up with David Israel, who is a writer he wrote a script with. Because that's the other thing was Tripoli would partner with the worst fucking people. Yourselves, company excluded.
What if I want to be included in that? I kind of feel like I have to be.
Every parking lot guy is like, I'm writing a script with him. And I was like, no, you go with a professional fucking writer, don't you? So I hooked him up with David Israel that recently within the last year. And I helped make his game show idea through Comedy Central. I feel like we've worked together closely. Yeah. So please, no one, there's nothing.
This is coming
here.
From a place of love.
For the love of God, one of his eyes is the shape of a football.
Yeah.
Take it easy on him.
It's a very tough love. It's all tough love.
You see, they're going to get to this, though, 40 minutes into the podcast. After
it's too late.
Yeah, you waited too long.
Oh, it's okay. Sorry. Yeah. But he loves whores.
But them whores. What about them whores?
You say it doesn't matter their braces. I took him we went to a Clipper Warrior game. My son, who's now 15 years old. My son was maybe four.
And I know he was playing basketball. Oh, go ahead.
So we're at the game, and Tripoli's just screaming his ass off. And again, my son is 4 years old. And at one point, my son stands up on a chair and just starts imitating what Tripoli's been saying the whole game. And he goes, "You stupid person!" It's just like, oh, my God. And Tripoli looked at me and he's like, "I'm so sorry."
Yeah,
the kid in front of us at the Sacramento and Clipper game we went to last weekend. Kid in front of us, Clippers up 18 the whole game. First time Sacramento has a lead is with like 3.1 seconds. They hit a crazy bucket. Now Clippers look like they're gonna lose. Whole place is devastated, and the kid in front of us, probably about 7 years old. Right when it got quiet, so he thought he was just going to yell while everyone's yelling. Everyone's done yelling, and the 7-year-old goes, "Motherfucker!" And his dad just gives him the slow, like, "Say what now?" like his face is red. His face is red. It was hilarious.
I don't know if I told this story, but the first hockey game I brought my oldest to was in Madison Square Garden. We were taking the train in New York. And I told him on the train, I go, "Buddy, the best thing about hockey is you can say whatever you want. There's no inside voices. You get to yell and boo other people." So they were playing the Capitals. Ovechkin comes out. Everyone's booing him. He's loving his boo, boo. He's like 6 years old. And this is right around the – remember those two cops got shot in New York City? This is probably 2 or 3 years ago. There were like two police officers killed.
In their car, right?
Yes, in their car. Yeah. So this is like the night after. So the NYPD brings out the colors. So the entire Madison Square Garden is just going NYPD, the whole thing. And it immediately turns to fuck de Blasio, right? And we are in the heart of the fuck de Blasio. We are in the epicenter of fuck de Blasio.
Yeah.
And my then 6-year-old dog, fuck de Blasio. He doesn't know what fuck means. He doesn't know who de Blasio is. I'm still trying to keep the NYPD going, like NYPD. And it's just, but we are in the middle of fuck de Blasio.
Have you seen that YouTube video of that little kid in the crib with the nanny cam or whatever?
No.
Probably, have you seen it? He's 1, 2 tops, laying in his thing. It's all like black and white, you know, like night vision looking, trying to fall asleep, maybe even a diaper on, just laying there. And all he keeps repeating over and over to himself is, "Let's go, Rangers."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He says it like 20 times.
Rangers.
It's great, bro.
Damn. That's beautiful.
He just heard that all night long, probably.
I don't think
we can
get sound up on it, so I'm not going to play it. Actually.
So, who do you go to this game with? You get a flight. How soon do you get a flight? You find out they're going to
drive.
I drove.
How much was the ticket?
I learned from last year in Houston to. I bought tickets like 2 weeks out and paid way too much. I just waited the day before, went on SeatGeek.
Yep.
And $150 lower level seat.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
It's not bad. Lower level. You're not up in the super nosebleeds.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, unless you're mid-court, 10th row, there aren't great seats because it's a football stadium.
You know? I feel like even the players don't. You see them jumping up to celebrate. They have to, like, leap up on it.
Yeah, that's that platform.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, they claim to be all about the athletes, and they have to play in this dugout, you know.
When was the shift to these football?
When those mega stadiums started getting built. When Glendale,
I think 05.
Dallas,
like Dallas?
And, yeah.
Detroit. 05, they played.
I remember they had one
in
Detroit
stadium.
Where I was like, wow, that's where the Lions play.
When they started being super dumps.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, but they were always like, I feel like they were always like, arenas like Madison Square Garden or like Staples Center.
Well,
that's
the NIT gets to play in the Madison Square Garden now, the place meant for basketball.
Well, the interesting thing will be the opposite of that will happen this year, where it's like we're talking about how a football stadium depersonalizes that NBA or college basketball experience. But the opposite of that's going to happen with the Chargers this year when they're playing in that soccer stadium that seats 35,000.
Yeah.
What do you think those crowds are going to be like?
They probably won't sell that
out. It's already sold out. They already announced it.
I mean, it's going to be intense, you think, or what?
I think it's going to be awesome because it's going to be a football experience, NFL experience, with an NBA kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for 35,000 people at an NFL game where the seats
like
are really close.
Yeah. A high school game in Texas.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed high school game.
Right.
It's
going
to be crazy. I think that's going to be very good. I would love to go to a Charger game. I mean, it's sold out, but that doesn't mean you can't fucking
I bet you it's not sold out.
SeatGeek is great. I had tremendous luck. I live right near the Rose Bowl, and so I've walked down with my son 20 minutes before games and gone to games.
It's the best. Yeah.
You could just grab stuff immediately.
That's the best time to buy tickets.
You really have to wait. Yep. You have to roll the dice and wait because they'll start just giving.
Well, back in the day, like you could go, like we would go to Cubs games where we would just go, and like. It's like bottom of the first, top of the second, and you would buy a $5 ticket from a guy. It's like, what are you going to do to throw it away? It's top of the second. You know, it's a $25 seat. I'll give you $10 for it right now. Or you can just throw it in the trash.
Yep.
You know, that was always a game to play. Guys, great segue. Go to SeatGeek and download the SeatGeek app. You get it on your phone. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK, and that saves you. That gives you $20 off your first ticket.
SeatGeek.
Or your first tickets. They make
you don't use SeatGeek?
No, I never.
Oh, I got it on my. I didn't even know this was a thing. I got the app right here.
I don't know if they're sponsors of you, but I've heard them on
bills before. The Black Tux, great. I did it this weekend. It was awesome.
What?
The BlackTux.com.
I don't know anything about that.
They're a sponsor on a couple of the All Things Comedy podcasts, but they send you a tuxedo.
Black Tux.
And that's it. In a box, you try it on, it fits, great. You wear your thing, you send it back in the box.
Yeah, well, I should get one of those for my funeral.
SeatGeek. I'm
texting with Sam right now. He's, of course, encouraged me to put on other podcasts on the network, but.
Of course.
And. I'm on Punch Drunk. Stop bragging. And I was just giving you shit. And he says, of course.
Yeah, he said that.
And then I said, love you, though. You know that. And he says, ha, 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 I know.
So you're worried, right? That's why you said
that. Oh, no,
I'm
not
worried.
You're a little
worried. Trust me, Al's not worried.
I am not worried at all.
I mean, you're worried you hurt his feelings.
We don't know each other at all, but I'm not concerned.
You're not worried you hurt his feelings a little bit?
No. We have these conversations. We have no, again, how old are you?
31.
Okay, 1999, yeah. You were how old?
14.
Okay, so I met Sam then, and we've known each other for a long, long time. We're cool. All right.
So, guys, use the code PUNCHDRUNK. And that gets you $20 off your first tickets.
Punch Drunk, got it.
And again, I didn't even know this was a sponsor.
Yeah.
I use it all the time. So it has like a dark green dot that comes up tells you when you're getting a good deal.
Yep.
So you can sort of like go around to different sections when you're at a sporting event. You
and
can
see, is this worth
anything.
It or is it not worth
like,
it?
Got it.
And it sort of rates your deal.
And you can put a search by budget too. You're like, hey, I don't want to spend more than $50 on tickets or, you know.
What can I find?
And it's great for when you're traveling. And, you know, we travel a lot. But like, let's say you're in family with, you're in New York or whatever. Yeah. You're like, hey. We're going to go to a Broadway show or whatever. What are you going to do? Google 9 different things and try to find. You just
I literally
right there,
do that
boom,
all
bam,
the time
bam.
On the road.
Dude,
so all
sick-y.
The different seating services are, remember, it's like Kayak for airlines.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
It just has it all.
Okay.
And yeah, they do all the work for you.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm doing it. I just downloaded the app.
Yep.
Done.
Use PunchDrunk and SeatGeek. Get the app. He already did it live on the show. Use the code PunchDrunk. That gets you $20 off of your first purchase. And it won't be your last purchase. That I promise you.
I'm going to use it.
Are you excited for NFL draft? Are you excited for your new
draft.
Look Niners?
Oh, I hope there's a rumor out there that the 49ers are going to actually do a trade with the Carolina Panthers.
That's
they're going to swap
team.
Spots.
Yeah,
so you guys have that 8 pick.
Yeah, that's right.
And we have the 2nd pick in the first round. So I'm hoping they don't do that. There's,
what would be the – wait, you would give the 8th
We
end?
Want to take that defensive end from Stanford.
Yeah, he's really good. I want that defensive end from Stanford. Or there's a safety that we're talking about.
From LSU, that kid's good.
So your first round pick goes to defense, you think?
I think so because also there's been talk that we'd get that running back from LSU. Yeah.
That's who I think we want to take at 8.
Fournette.
Yeah.
Leonard
Fournette. So that might be the swap, and we might get Fournette. But then what are you guys going to have to give up to give us
too
that?
Too much. Yeah, I don't
exactly.
think
exactly.
Yeah.
So then we're going to get a couple second rounds out
of
it.
I don't think they're going
to
do
we need to stack our team. Actually went
to
Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints Thursday night game this last season, and I SeatGeeked it, walked right in, and I was sitting there, and I don't know what's fucking happened to me lately, but I've been catching T-shirts left and right. I'm like,
T-shirt cannons,
fucking, I got T-shirts everywhere, so I turn around. To this little kid behind me, because I'm not going to wear a fucking Carolina Panthers T-shirt.
Fuck no.
And some bank on the back of it. But I hand it to this kid behind me.
That's Bank of America. Not some bank.
He turns around, he looks at it, and he looks at the bank, and then he goes,
of America.
I can take it back. He's a little fucking give this T-shirt. But I'm gifting out T-shirts left and right. I don't know what's happening.
Does someone's name on it? Mm.
Just crank it out.
So you're excited for Kyle Shanahan. He's good, bro. I tell you what, that guy is an offensive fucking.
I'm actually going up and working with the 49ers. I did a roast of Trent Baalke on his 50th birthday party. He was a fired and disgraced
GM. Give me some jokes you would say. Now, this is pre-firing.
Pre-fire. This is 50th birthday. Everything's going great. Trent Dilfer is there. Keena Turner, Tom Rathman. I walked out on the field, you know, months afterwards, and Tom Rathman walked up to me and my dad.
Now, is that at Levi's or was that the stick?
Levi's, yeah. Okay. This is Levi's. And so anyway, I go, Jed York is here. Let's keep going for Jed York. Jed York went to Notre Dame on a My Mom Owns a Football Team scholarship. And I go,
sure
congratulations
did.
On being the most successful guy named Jed. Runner-up is a meth dealer in Fresno. Uh-huh. And there was those bits that were specific to the 49ers. I got in a little bit of trouble because Doug Wilson, who is the general manager, still the general manager of the San Jose Sharks, I wrote jokes with Bartnick for that because I don't know anything about hockey.
Yeah.
And
that's the right guy.
What path did Bartnick lead you down?
Bartnick
settled some scores.
One that just shut the room down, and then another one.
Eddie
that
Mason's
read.
Wife fucks everyone.
Yeah.
Inside locker room shit. I'm like, whoa. Yeah,
keep it going for Doug Wilson, everybody. I go, Native Americans have made better trades. Some of Doug's deals are shakier than Muhammad Ali playing blackjack. And then the 49er cheerleaders of Gold Rush, I looked at my third joke because those two did not do well.
Yeah.
And then what had happened was all football guys that would laugh at each other. Mm. But then there was one hockey guy, and they didn't know him well enough to laugh at his expense. But my third joke that Bartnick wrote is that Doug's had more hard black things hit him in the face than the entire Gold Rush combined. It was the 49er cheerleader.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And,
did that do well?
No, you could. I just looked at it. I'm not going to read the last one. And so I was just out. But then after that, I got hired to do roast the NFL owners before the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. It's
so it was
right?
just, yeah, it was a Levi's 50th anniversary of the Super
How
Bowl.
How did they take jokes?
Not well at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine so.
And no.
Because I was there, too. I mean, not your thing, but I was at the Super Bowl. We talked. Didn't Jeremy Renner do it, too? And, it was, like, bombed?
The lineup was Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. The actor?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea, right?
Yeah. Well, and it was Jeremy Renner, me
to
and
do
this...
roast or
no,
he was
no.
just talking?
He was just talking.
Oh,
he was,
I thought
the
he was host. Oh. Oh, okay.
I was the only Still, one. It's gonna... I walked up, and then I did... I go, ladies and gentlemen, how about that dinner, huh? I go, if anybody wants an extra plate, Marvin Lewis didn't finish his. I go, man, that guy can't finish anything, huh? And one person goes, whoa.
That was the first wow. joke?
That was the first joke. Oh, and I go, well, and I knew they were good. And I just go, well, dig in, fuckers. Here we go. This, right. these, some of these
How much did you have to do time-wise? Like five, six?
No, I did. I was up there for a good, like, 15, 20.
Oof. What did, just, did they give you any direction?
No, they told me what I couldn't do.
Yeah, I mean, what was that?
That was just like some of them were just too harsh. But then, you know, I found out Dean Spanos, who's the president of the San Diego, the now Chargers, L.A. Chargers, sure. came up to me with his wife, and he's like, that was fucking amazing. That was incredible. He goes, but you realize none of us could laugh, right?
Oh, I see.
Because we can't laugh at each other's expense. The biggest laughs I got were of people that weren't there, like the owner of the Jets. Woody Johnson can't be here tonight. I'm disappointed because I look up to him a lot. I go, so much fame, success, wealth, with a name that literally translates to penis, kills, because he's not there.
Yeah.
And then Arthur Blank, I look at him, because also...
They all laugh together when they get together at the meetings and think about what they put you through there. That's when they laugh together, when they're like,
how about that Puerto Rican we raked over the coals?
That guy was great.
You notice one of his eyes look like a football?
So... They don't understand any reference. I was talking to the kid whose dad owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. Rich Eisen's there, and I'm talking to him. He's laughing at how like brutal the whole experience was. It ended up going well. I mean, I got laughs. And
so you do those things sometimes. We wrote on the league. We had that cold opening of the year after the Seattle blew the Super Bowl, where like you know that one where I was on the beach and I was like. Marshawn was there, and he was like, "I'll run it over to him." And he's like, "No, I'll throw it to him." And what's the worst that can happen? Yeah. And we were asking Marshawn, like, "How do you feel about that?" Or he's like, "I would. I'm here. I'm doing it. I don't mind. I can laugh at us." Yeah. But he's like, "You'd never get certain players. Maybe certain players named like Russell take themselves a little more seriously."
No, it's difficult because all those owners have no ability to understand any reference. They've been so rich, and nobody talks to them.
Oh, like, we're not talking about Joe Rogan rich. We're talking about
generational wealth,
like Vladimir Putin rich,
billions. Yeah.
They
rich.
Have no ability to understand any references, anything. So, he told me, "Oh, another comedian. You did so much better than the other comedians we've had." And I go, "Who have you had?" No, Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Was 2 years before me. He just apparently ate it because they don't know what a Hot Pocket is. They don't know about
normal dad stuff. Yeah.
No, and also they don't know him.
Jim Gaffigan is rich. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they can't relate to rich people.
No.
You can't buy an
they're
NFL
not
franchise.
They're a different rich. That's not rich.
Yeah, you can't buy an NFL franchise for rich. Less than $1 billion, right?
Not at all.
Not one.
No. I bet they're closer to two.
Yeah, the next time the Panthers sell, they're thinking more than $2 billion. Yeah.
They're closer to three.
Wow.
Yeah.
Most
of those are closer to three.
By the way, I went to – I'm sorry. I didn't want to change this. Speaking of owners, Magic Johnson, I went to the Dodger game opening day yesterday. You know, they redid the inside a little bit. They got rid of all, like, the subways and all of that, and they brought in, like, local places, like Angel City.
I was just saying Roscoe's.
Not Roscoe's, but there's, the food's much better.
I saw a whole thing about it.
I still won't go there.
To what?
Dodger Stadium? Because of the ravine?
Oh, because of the ravine? Right? They dragged Mexicans from their homes.
It's a really crazy story.
What are you talking about?
What?
I won't go to. You know that the Chavez Ravine, the story of the Dodger Stadium.
Cesar Chavez.
Well,
fast forward.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so there's a ton. There was a huge Mexican-American community where this Dodger Stadium was built.
Mm-hmm.
They did eminent domain and ripped those people from their homes, screaming, crying, kicked them out
this?
On the street.
When they built
when they built in the 40s. Stadium.
In the 60s or whatever it was?
I
think it was open the same year as Shea Stadium in New York.
I love all this. I love having the laptop here for reference.
I'm working
on
it.
You can see that.
I like when he asks questions. I like when our research guy goes, hey, man, are the Smothers Brothers still alive or are they dead? Like, you got a laptop right
there. I didn't ask that. I asked how old they were when he encountered
them. Dodger Stadium in 62, yeah. It was the same year. Yeah.
They ripped from their homes, and now look at who populates the the stadium is filled with Mexican Americans, so they just don't.
That is funny, yeah.
But no, I won't go after that San Francisco Giants fan got beat into a coma in the parking lot. Haven't been back since.
The drive-in, the single lane on Academy, like the house parties that were happening yesterday were quite vibrant and colorful.
You know that you ever go to that shortstop bar? You ever go there?
No.
There's a bar right on Sunset that's like the last place you can get a drink before you round the corner and go up the hill. And if you have your – I assume they still do it. They used to. If you have your Dodger ticket or your ticket stub, it's like $2 beers. So if you're going to the game and you go, hey, here's my ticket, you can knock down, you know, five beers for the price of one, which you're about to get.
Fuck yeah.
Or if you're leaving the game, you can go in there and tie, you know, a bunch on. So I'm there drinking before the game. This is years ago. And – it's probably like 8 years ago, and I'm pretty oil canned already. Mm-hmm. And it's like a 1 o'clock in the afternoon game. You know, I've been drinking since like 10 in the morning. So I get there, have like three or four beers. I go outside to smoke a cigarette, and I'm just standing outside the door smoking a cigarette, and these two people walk up to me and show me their IDs. So I don't even bat an eye. Just like, okay, look at the ID, look at them, hand to them, then do it to the other one. And they go, what's cover to get in? I go, it's $5. So you just give me $5. I'm kind of like laughing. And in my head, I'm like, when I go back in there, they'll realize it was a goof. I'll buy them beers. Here come two more people that just saw, not unlike your magic $20 transaction.
They know it's $5 to get in.
Now they get it. It's a group of three, so they all come in. So I'm like, fuck, I kind of can't not. So I check their IDs. They all give me $5. They go in. Now I'm kind of like, fuck. Now I kind of can't go back. I can't go back in there. Maybe I'll just go to the game. The door flies open. I'm never not by the door. This door flies open, and this bartender guy is like, "Is somebody out here charging?" Because there's like 20 people in there. A whole group of six come in. They're like, "Wow, $5 a cover to get in for this?" He's like, "What the fuck charge you a cover?" I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." He goes back in, and it's just me chucking down. Whoa.
Holding that money above your head.
Yeah. That really blew up in my face.
Fuck, dude.
Dodger Stadium can be dangerous. Surprisingly clean.
Oh, very clean. And then they also put, but if you're wearing an opposing team's jersey in Los Angeles, that's where all gangs come together to form one gang.
And especially if you're in the outfield pavilion seats or where you can get a $10 ticket, you know, where it's like, cheaper, shittier seats, you have a higher probability of getting shanked for clapping for a fucking strikeout or something. I wore a Falcons jersey to an Oakland Raiders game once. And
how'd that go?
Not so good. I was standing outside charging cover. And no, I'm kidding. But it's not even kickoff yet. And I'm walking like through the like hallway to get a drink or a hot dog or whatever the fuck. And I got a coat on. And then jersey here. And these fucking Raiders guys are walking towards me. And one of them just goes, hey, man, you might want to think about zipping that coat up. And I was good idea. That thing was zipped up to my neck for the next 4 hours.
Got the collar.
And here's how I would cheer. Let's say Falcons get a first down. Everybody's cheering the tackle, and I'm cheering with them. Good first down.
I didn't see a lot of people in Padres stuff yesterday, though. I didn't. I mean,
surprising. They travel well here.
I mean, it's only 2 hours away.
Well, I mean, but there's a lot of transplants from San Diego that are here that are big. I know a lot of Padres fans that live here is what I mean to say.
That's what I'm going to definitely do for sure is I will take the family down to a Padres-San Francisco Giants game because I happened to be down there last season and noticed people – actually, I looked on with envy as families walked into. I was by myself. I had 5 minutes to kill before I started working on something. And I was just going to take a
It's a nice
walk.
Stadium down there.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Best.
It really is.
Great night games because that whole outfield is the skyline.
Yeah.
And
so
then
the night
you're in
games
that gas lamp district.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
And there's you can go out afterwards.
Great restaurants.
Yeah,
a lot of
hotels
shops
nearby.
Yeah. I was in D.C. I went to that stadium there, too. It's sort of like it looks like a Costco on the outside, but the inside's pretty nice.
It's fun. It's
yeah,
fun to go
I
around.
I like having stadiums downtown.
I also like to but I feel like Dodger Stadium is the only one you sort of feel threatened in.
Yeah.
You mean in this town?
If you're an opposing fan.
Yes.
And you're in Dodger Stadium or you're in the Raider Stadium.
Raiders,
like
sure.
That, you feel
Philadelphia.
Unsafe.
I would wear my Yankee stuff. You think the Dodgers fans would? I mean, there's so many New York transplants here.
I've gone.
Would you wear your Dodgers, your Yankee shit at Fenway?
Fuck yeah, I'd wear it at Fenway.
Yeah, of course you would. You're
fuck
famous.
Them.
What if you were skinnier and not famous?
I was fat and 22, and I went to a Fenway.
You're
game.
You're fat and 40.
I was 22 years old with my wife and her friends. There was a Red Sox Mets game. All her friends are Mets fans. I wore my Yankee shit to that. They were selling shit outside. Red Sox fans.
Red Sox Mets game.
And I wore a Yankee hat.
I love that.
Just fuck everyone.
I love that though.
Yeah.
Hey, if you and I went to a Niners Packers game, let's say, you're like, hey, I got Niners tickets. I would wear a Falcon hat all day long.
I went. I hosted Jaron and his lovely Jaron Horton, who's a stand-up comedian. Uh-huh. I hosted him and his aunt and his mom. Came to San Francisco. They were in our tailgate and everything. I got no real problem with it, but I just love making fun of opposing teams' fans. And so I remember, you know, we played the Vikings opening game a couple of years ago, and yeah, it was a lot of Adrian Peterson jerseys walking past me.
Uh-huh.
And just heckling the ladies nonstop.
Sure.
But they're such good fans. Like a Green Bay Packer fan and a Minnesota Viking fan is the nicest fucking people. Yeah. That
all Midwest. Bears, yeah. Bears fans, too. Chicago in all Chicago sports fans, teams, White Sox fans are kind of shitty, but are the same way. It's all that Midwest shit. Any Midwest team, I'm sure Tennessee Titan fans are great.
South's not bad either. The South. It's not.
Charlotte.
Yeah. Then again,
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to get a beat down in the parking lot in Charlotte.
It's a seaside
city. Not
cities.
If you're white.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
The coastal obviously. Cities that have problems. Philly, you don't want to.
No.
No.
You don't want to wear anything imposing in Philadelphia for any reason whatsoever.
No. Just don't go to Philadelphia.
They
really,
threw snowballs at Santa.
I went to Niners Jets and when I was out in New York, and that's when we really kicked their ass.
Uh-huh.
And doing the Niners were good. Remember those years? And we
hated them.
We did really well, blowout. I think it was, we shut them out, and all the Jets fans left, and the 49er fans took over the entire stadium. It was just a bad day if you were a Jet fan. But people were yelling at us in the beginning.
And oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not, New Yorkers.
In like European soccer, though, what they do, their solution to this is they make the opposing fans leave first and exit, and they tell all the home fans to stay put. And that's how they protect the fans. I mean, that's something they should maybe consider.
Another fun thing to do is go to a game and heckle one specific person on the other team. But not like, oh, it's Cam Newton. Like, I remember I went with my buddy Jay, we went to Raiders-Broncos game.
Where is the game?
Oakland. He's a big Raiders fan. He's like, hey, I got tickets if you want to go to the game with me. I was like, sure, I'll go to an NFL game. So it's Raiders-Broncos. Ian Gold, linebacker for the Broncos at the time, is just, we had pretty decent seats, kind of behind the opposing team's bench. But Ian Gold is straight ahead to me, and he's at the all the way right of the team. So he's the last guy standing there. I recognize who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just start yelling, hey, you sitting on your helmet, Ian Gold? Whatever he was doing. And then everybody around me would start laughing, so I'm just trying to make everybody around me laugh. And then he, you know, everything he would do, I would just yell it at him for no reason. Just, I don't know why. And then the punter comes over and he's talking to Shane Leckler, whoever their punter was at the time. He's talking to him and I yell, you talking to the punter, Ian Gold? And he finally turns around and just like, wild. His hands in the air. Like, who is just yelling at everything that I do? All you're doing is saying what I'm doing. Like, what's the point? It was so fucking funny to break him, you know? Because I wasn't like, hey, fuck you. Fuck. Whatever he was doing, I would just yell it at him. Yeah. Oh, talking to the punter, huh? And he's like, why are you not watching the game?
Picking up that tallying gold. Ooh. You really are sweaty. You need that tallying gold.
That's fucking terrible. You're a bad person.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Guys, made that guy's day.
Speaking of bad people, what about Tate Fletcher? He's the kind of guy who I don't want to fight. but if you want to be as badass as he is, go to cavemancoffeeco.com. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK. That gets you $15 off your first order. They have all of the nitro teas that Ari loves, the nitro coffees that I like, but I can't have more than two of those. Or I feel like I've just been doing...
Wait, so Tate has his own coffee company?
Yeah, they're fantastic, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was talking to him about getting a bunch of it out there and that thing because they have the little Keurig ones,
too. Oh, cool.
Too.
No, I like that guy a lot, too. Like,
one of the greatest guys ever, man. I just love that guy so much. Even though I think he fucking broke my ribs. We've talked about that on the show.
Really?
Yeah, I was wrestling with him. Yeah, because he's just a fucking gigantic...
I would like to do a show... Where, and I need to talk to Takes. He'd be perfect for that. And yep. I've talked to like a Eddie Bravo or just have people come in, or Brendan Schaub, like those guys. I'd like to learn how to fight. Like, I want to, because that's what I'm missing, right?
Yeah. If there's anything that, if there's anything I know about you, it's you need to be physically aggressive as well.
Look, yeah, because what I'm saying is I'm glad this is at least you learning how, like, at least it's not like, I want a gun show to come in here. Like, people bring guns and shoot out here.
I really would like Tate to, like, teach me how to fight.
And
like,
the season finale is you finally going to a Dodgers game, right?
And then I just fight my way out. Just like. Tell everybody to fuck off.
Yeah.
That's what Al needs. Al needs to be a fucking weapon.
Not only do I want to.
I really do feel like I could be the one of those guys who just has, like, knives duct taped to their hands, like, into their hands. You know, with
the, well, I mean, you look at guys like Anthony Bourdain.
Apocalypto.
He's a kick-ass judo. I mean, jiu-jitsu guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bourdain is. I mean. He's what, 56?
I got one of those coming out. I was on that show, No Reservations.
Oh, really?
Parts Unknown, the one is. It's Mexican food in L.A., he was 4 hours late, so me and all the producers went drinking. So when this thing comes out, I just know that I'm wasted on television.
Why was he late?
He was getting a tattoo.
And you're not much of a giant drinker.
No.
That makes sense.
I mean, you're...
Can't handle my booze. I had a big tall boy.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go?
We went to that Oliveira Street.
Yeah.
I'm new here.
Oh, I'll tell you all about Mexican food in L.A.
Cool. Yeah. I like Mexican food.
Yeah. You should. It's delicious.
It's wonderful. It's delicious. You had one tall boy and you were hammered.
I had a big downtown brown. You know that stuff?
I met him. Oh, that's a drink. No. I thought you were talking about my buddy. He sells heroin downtown. That's why I call him Downtown Brown, but... Reminds me, I owe him money. So go to cavemancoffeeco.com. Use the code PUNCHDRUNK, get you 15% off. I want to talk to Tate about putting that shit out there because it's great. How excited are you for the Masters? You're excited about
it? I'm very excited.
Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to...
I was talking about it today. Everyone thinks
win, play, show.
Dustin Johnson is like the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite to go. He's just playing unbelievably now, and he's putting really well. But I think Hideki Matsuyama is like the guy that will sneak in there and play well. It's going to be interesting. I think there's going to be a little bit of weather or something. I've seen some weather reports, which, you know, makes things a little harder. But it's the most immaculate course and most well-kept greens ever. So
you've played it?
No. No, you don't even... You can't even imagine. It's the hardest thing to probably do in America. It's like to get on at Augusta.
I would think that you would have pulled that off.
Impossible.
How so?
Really,
because
tough.
How much is it?
$0.
You can't get in. Yeah.
It's a country club in, you know, an hour outside of Atlanta.
Yeah.
That it's a small town. No one's you're not passing through it.
I mean,
Augusta,
Georgia is known for that. For this,
like, apparently, that's part of the reason Steve Spurrier went to South Carolina is because someone could hook him up with a membership at Augusta.
That's
part of the reason he took that job. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how hard it is.
They just let their first woman in, Condoleezza Rice.
Boo.
Yeah. They let her in.
So now they got to put a whole set of tees up for this fucking bitch.
They got to put the red tees up.
What is blue tees for here after 200 years? Ah, that one goddamn condo. She doesn't even golf. We had to do it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I mean, Phil Mickelson, Tiger's not playing in it, but who gives a shit? No one really cares.
And you guys are actually streaming that. If you want to go, I think
we're going
to
do it on YouTube, I think. So we don't have a link yet, but we're getting one real soon.
I believe there's a phone call happening for that right now.
Yeah, if you just go to youtube.com/ATC, it'll be the only one that says live. That's easy to click on.
And we'll be doing it from noon to 4 Pacific time, which will cover the winners. And you know, like the leaders will be on hold. 3 by the time you get on the air.
Well, we've done this a couple times. We've had Bill Burr and Kreischer watching, like, sort of like it's almost like an audio companion to any sporting event. So if you are a golf fan, you can just watch this. You watch the end of the Masters and have court.
Yeah.
And then special guests, you're going to have people on. And
Bill Burr's going to call in and Jesper Parnevik.
Yeah, it's like watching the Masters with you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Only you can't hear them, but they can hear you.
And Court's a really great golfer, and he just caddied this past weekend in Houston
for the
tournament before the Masters.
He's an insane golfer.
Yeah, he's insane.
Like, he would play with us, and he was like, I'm not going to play. I'm just going to hang out with you guys. I don't want to play every hole because you guys are going to slow me down a lot, but I'll come. And then we would get to certain holes where he would be like, oh, I think I'm going to play this one, because we'd find these little challenging things. He's like, where most people, it's like a dog leg right. That would, like, go this way and then that way. He's like, I'm going to see if I can get with my driver, if I can just get it on the green in one.
Yeah.
Going over these trees.
Yeah.
So he would try shit like that. And then, like, 20 minutes later, when we finally get to the green, sure as shit, there's his ball that he hit off the tee, you know.
Exactly.
Six shots earlier
for us. That he meant
to play.
That he meant to be. Yeah.
He's the kind of golfer that goes, I'm going to hit it a little bit, draw that way and go. And it does that.
Yep. That's what it does. And it's very frustrating. I've played with him for the last 8 years. Yeah. As I've slowly gotten a little bit better, he just has always been...
I'm just dying anytime to make contact and for it to go straight.
Yeah, that's how most people go.
Most people get through like that. That's not playing to him. But he has so many, you know, he played with a lot of the guys that are playing in the Masters this weekend, so he's got a lot of inside
information. I mean, if he shoots a 78, he's pissed.
Oh, my God.
He's pissed.
Oh, I killed him for something.
Yeah, that's
eight over. I mean, I'll never golf that good, ever.
He's a scratch golfer. Zero handicap.
Yeah.
Any course in America goes on zero. He gets zero strokes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty fucking gnarly.
That's gnarly, right?
Yeah.
That's like being a black belt in golf.
Yeah. He's a black belt in golf, which
is fucking
useless.
We know a lot of black belts where you're like, yeah. Well, that's not as useful for him.
Yeah,
I mean, he's doing this cool podcast.
Well, he does do his little side games. Like, he's got, like, he goes out to Valencia and there's a skins game. You know, so it's sort of like a little bit of a hustle.
Like a pool hustle.
You know, you can get away with like, a couple hundred bucks a week.
We have the same watch because he...
He's also got a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, Jim Irsay
is his best friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one of his good
close friends. You know, Jim Irsay has a guy whose job is just to tip people all day long? And
yes.
He starts every day with $5,000.
So you were asking before, how do you get on Augusta? Like, Jim Irsay I think he's played before, but he barely got on Augusta. You can go to... You can go to Carmel and go to Pebble Beach and tip the right fucking people and get and maybe you might get on if you just there's no chance of going to Augusta.
You walk into an Augusta and like the valet guy comes up and he's got a $20,000 bill in his hand. And he goes, "Hey, this last guy gave me this to help us get on the course."
$20,000 bill, yeah.
You have to have money from slavery, basically.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, old white Southern money.
Yeah,
plantation money.
Like, you know who just got in? You know, Jim Nantz, the announcer.
Yeah,
he does all. Yeah. Like, he's worked for CBS for I don't know
40 years.
He's in now. Like, they let him in.
Yeah, after years of pumping that place. I mean, tradition unlike
it. Has Court played there?
No, never.
It's just like that.
No.
Huh?
It's impossible. But but when you go, like, beers are a dollar, hot dogs are there's no wrappers on the floor, there's no cell phones. You can't bring your cell phone on the course. They just tap you on the shoulder and you're gone. And you're out.
Oh yeah.
Why have we blacked out the why is there tape over the Shure on the headphones? Is anyone wondering?
I have no idea.
I didn't look.
We don't want to give them that free publicity.
No, we're not giving
away. Let's
take
that off. We do. It's actually part of the deal. I don't know who fucking did that. But
see, that's what I like about Magical. Guys, you want to do any gambling on the Masters?
Yeah.
Go to BetDSI.com.
Wonderful.
Use the code PUNCHDRUNK there. That gets you 10 free bucks to gamble with.
Oh, really?
Sam, Dude, what more do you want from us? I'm you go to BetDSN.com, use the code PUNCHDRUNK, you automatically have $10 you can gamble with. And then you build the empire. And then you can build the
Start
empire.
Start from there, yeah.
I know, I did not win any money on this NCAA tournament.
I won
my brackets pool. Were fucked.
My son picked Gonzaga.
And he did?
So, yeah, to win the whole thing. And so had that going, and almost it came down to him and another kid in his bracket. So I was pretty proud of, like, he had a pretty decent bracket.
I beat one of my son's friends, he's 8 years old. And then on Saturday, because Saturday was the Final Four, we had a baseball game, and I was coaching first base, and he gets a hit, and he gets over first base. I'm like, good hit. Good. I don't want to say his name, but good hit. I'm like, way to keep your eye on the ball. Too bad you're going to lose all that money to me tonight when an Oregon loses, because his parents went to Oregon, so he just picked Oregon to go all the way.
Uh-huh.
And his parents didn't even pick Oregon to go all the way, so he was the only one with a bracket that was still alive that could beat me.
Uh-huh.
And because I picked North Carolina, so...
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
so nice. You ended up winning. You nice won job. The whole thing?
Yeah, I won the whole thing.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
This is the Punch Drunk League, by the way.
Oh, really?
I don't recognize any of these names.
Oh, you're not going to recognize my name.
Jeb's Lawyer. Third
I'm
place.
Goody.
It's funny, all Mickey yeah. Gall fan club. Mickey Gall will be here in two
you know,
weeks.
They should...
There was no perfect bracket again this year, right?
I don't
How many
so.
People mm-hmm. participated in this?
2 million.
Oh, a bunch.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, in ours,
oh, you're
though.
Punch Drunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, a couple hundred, I think.
Yeah. Like, cool. 200, maybe.
You know, this Sam Tripoli might be onto something.
See?
Oh, yeah. We
see
have.
What I
we
mean?
Have well,
I'm just kidding.
When we sign up, we do fantasy signups. We have a massive complex of fantasy leagues. And
that fantasy football yeah. league is hard to get in for us. We had yeah. to start. We have the main one, and then we each have our own division.
Oh really?
With like promotion and relegation. It's great. Yeah.
I have T has one with my own rules. My whole thing was it was auction draft.
Oh, really?
It yeah, wasn't Louise just, SF. You know, Snake.
Jeb's Lawyer.
Because that's a really interesting strategy.
So how many people, what is the second name? When Jeb's Lawyer, Murph Dog 008.
That's the username. And,
oh, got it.
And that's the name of their name. Entry. Yeah.
Cool.
Their bracket entry.
But yeah. no one got a perfect bracket again. Yeah. My wife
that's
is
so hard to do.
I know, but my wife is so. She's like, I don't understand how no one gets a perfect bracket. She's
you know
like,
what?
All these bettors out there that know exactly the spreads and the lines. I go, babe, you're thinking about it wrong. They're yeah. taking each individual game. For this, you have to think like 8 steps ahead.
Of course,
you know,
if you get one thing wrong,
one thing wrong,
everything.
It's all yeah. over.
You
so.
Know what's interesting as well is trying to get every one of them wrong. Have you ever tried to do that?
It's just as hard, I'm sure.
It's just as – it's equally yeah. as hard.
Oh, sure.
Because
yeah.
eventually you're going to get as many right
yeah.
that you get wrong,
wrong.
The
yeah,
other way.
The other way, yeah.
You probably get more right that way.
I mean, the first ones are kind of easy. Like, okay, all the number ones,
yeah.
they lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy one.
yeah.
You know? But then
yeah,
you
but
get
then...
into those, you know, eights, nines, and the fucking
My big thing every
and...
year I always say is the 12-5 matchups in the first round. Yeah. 12-5 matchups yep. to me, I always pick three – At least two, but usually three of the 12s.
12-5 all the way down to, you know, 11-6.
13-6s, same thing now. Yep.
Well, there were some upsets this year that were, I mean, they were favorites.
13-4s.
Like Wichita State was so underseeded. They were like an 11-6, and everybody mm-hmm. thought they were going to win. There were a few.
South Carolina
that.
Fucked a lot of people's brackets
yeah.
up
oh,
week
yeah.
to week to week to week, too.
Yeah, but a 7 seed was tough. Wrong for them.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, they
yeah.
were tough.
I mean, but that's what happens because a lot of people just see those numbers and go, okay, a 7.
Yep.
There must be a reason you're a 7.
Well, we talked about it last week. Like Kentucky, if they'd have been in Gonzaga's side of the region, I think they would have been in the championship game, honestly.
My 8-year-old was filling out the bracket. He's like, this is easy. I'm like, why? He's like, I just take the higher number, whoever the higher seed. I go, yeah, you could do that the whole way. He goes,
it's going to work eventually.
Yeah. He goes, you guys think this is hard? I was like, all right.
And then
we
got to
play
say,
the game, though,
what did
buddy,
he say when
too.
It was over?
He's like, what do you mean they didn't win? I go, he goes, they said they were favorite. I'm like, that's not how this whole thing, they got to play the
yeah.
game.
Yeah. You got to take them to Vegas and show them how shiny everything is. yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? You think they don't know what they're doing? Look at this place. This building is a giant diamond. You can see the light from this building in outer space.
Some guy bet $300,000 on Carolina, I saw in Vegas. Made $200,000. That was the biggest bet.
Did you see anyone crying there last night? Gonzaga fans, like, crying?
Oh, definitely.
I love when they show the little kids crying.
Sure. Yeah, there was a little boy they showed towards the end who was just standing there
love
bawling.
It.
It's like,
especially when it's like a team, like Duke, when they lose. I go back and watch it in slow motion, like when there's a big shot made or something.
Sad fans.
I love it.
No, we have a lot of
this
common.
Whole thing.
I hate the fans more than I hate some of the teams sometimes.
Absolutely.
It's like a Seattle Seahawks fan. Is it when you know how they paint their faces?
Yeah,
like they wish they were Raider fans or something,
yeah.
but they're all just saying. Remember Kurt Warner's wife?
Oh, yeah, with the blonde Susan Powder hair.
Yeah, yeah, see, yeah, that's what every Seattle fan looks like to me.
It's like a motivational.
I got that. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
Coffee cup in hand.
Just, oh, but face paint and like life, that. Yeah, spiky, sort of like, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's some sort of bad blue and
12th
green.
Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the 12th
that
man.
Flag.
For some
the
reason,
flag.
I just don't Come like them. I just don't like them.
Seattle fans?
Yeah, Seattle Seahawks. Yeah. Just Seahawks.
The 12th man thing is such bullshit, too. Apparently, some of my friends
I'm over it.
Have gone on that
Texas
field,
A&M.
And they said that
they'd have paid them.
There's a low hum that stadium emits, like they're jacking the sound, and you know, for their own purposes. And they've been in there.
I think a bunch of teams.
It was Bill who said he's looked around, been in there, and seen nobody yelling, but it being extremely loud. Yeah.
It is like a tin can, though. Like that,
the way it's shaped.
The way, yeah. It keeps everything inside. I've been there a couple times. I've been on the field.
What's the Texas A&M thing?
Oh, that they had to pay them.
They did the 12th man thing before with the flag and everything.
So yeah, Seattle had to pay them. Like a royalty fee or whatever
it
was?
Yeah, so no, that's not even their thing.
Yeah.
It's fucking
They had to. It was Texas Tech. Or who was it?
Texas Tech or Texas, one of those Texas
like
schools.
A&M. It might have been A&M. It was a Manziel.
It wasn't Baylor because no one got raped in the deal.
It was
A&M. No, it's where A&M went. Our Manziel went.
Yeah, 12th man, Texas A&M.
Hey, T.
They lent them the trademark for 12th man. That's what it is.
Yeah.
140,000.
Oh, yeah. We got Jeb?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take this, Jeb. Cousin Jeb, what is the word, buddy? Just so you know, this is Ari's cousin. He is from the South, and I imagine he had a crazy week. You there?
Oh, goddamn. I'm fresh out of court today, boys. This is Fisher. I'm failing Jeb now.
You're in jail?
Oh, no, fuck no, I'm out of that shithole.
Nice.
I'm at home, boys, just chilling.
Okay, now, were you happy about Carolina winning?
Oh, goddamn, my sister graduated from there, so you can kind of tell my whole family's fucking acting like they just had another grandbaby or something. Check this shit, have any of y'all ever had your dick sucked from the back?
No, I have not.
From the back?
From the back, which means you'd have to tuck it around.
You bend it. You bend your...
Are you on all fours when you're getting that done? Or
that
is
could
that...
also be sucking your dick out through your ass.
No, coming out of your ass.
No one thought that.
You're wrong. I clearly did.
Do a three-point stance or something and her eat my ass and suck my dick or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would have to be, three-point stance or on all fours if
you're a big fan of that, the Jeb to eating, letting somebody eat your ass?
Well, I've only had it happen one time, and it kind of tickled and surprised me. But, hell, I'd let it go again if I could find another keeper slut like I used to have.
Jesus Christ. Son of a bitch.
Keeper slut? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Keeper slut. Hell, I took that bitch to Super 8. I think I told you, Tebow, plugged that bitch in the butt, and, hell, I was using KY and everything in the shower like a dumbass trying to fuck a bitch in the ass in the shower. And, you know, that water just dries every goddamn thing out.
Because it's water-based,
yeah,
probably.
Water-based.
Yeah. That's the whole
petroleum
thing, how that works.
Yeah, it really didn't work that good. But, hell, after I got in there, I just exploded in her. And, you know, I said, hell, let's just go lay down for a little bit and watch some free cable on behalf of Super 8 Motel.
Well, if nothing else, a gentleman. Mm. I've often said that about you.
When they advertise it on the billboard, you got to take them up on it, right?
It's the free cable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we were saying earlier. It's like when you go to All You Can Eat Pavilion at Dodger Stadium, you don't have one Dodger dog.
No. You eat, make yourself sick.
Yeah. You eat till your left arm goes numb.
This is America.
What y'all think about this damn UFC car coming up? This shit's going to be pretty good, man. Y'all think Rumble's going to pull it out?
I hope so. I'm very sick of Daniel Cormier. I definitely want John Jones to knock Cormier's block off. But I think I'm going to go with Rumble Johnson in that fight. I'm going to go with Weidman.
You going to take Weidman over Gegard?
I think so. I think Musashi's going to have a good fight, but I like Weidman that. I like Cote. I like a lesbian to win the other fight, and then I'm going to go with...
Well, hell, they got a lesbian fighting which one?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know who either one of these two are. Gonzalez? I don't even know what weight class that is. Click on that one.
Okay.
I'm going to be in Buffalo this weekend, and I can't go to these fights.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing shows.
Is that Kovalkiewicz bitch of lesbian?
Well, look at
she suck pussy.
Pearl Gonzalez just looks like she could be Glory the secretary from this place.
Yep.
She really does. But she's got no record?
I love how this fight is so important that it's on the pay-per-view. And it might be. Whatever. It's somebody that's 4-0 versus somebody that's never fought. She's so irrelevant, at least in the realm of the UFC's eyes, that on their own website and their own page promoting a pay-per-view,
Shadow.
There's no picture of her.
Yeah.
Shadow Can you body. Scroll down the stats to see if she eats pussy? Because I think that's what Jeb wanted to know.
Yeah, I think yeah. That's at the bottom.
Hey, man, just trying to say, hey, man, one of these bitches is going to get...
Oh, who's this guy down here below? Is that the... Stotts versus Emerson. I thought... I went to UFC. I think it was with you.
I was at one with you.
And Tripoli when we were in Vegas. And,
no, Sam wasn't there with us, though. It was just you and
I.
Me
and him were
to,
doing the show together, but me and you went.
Went to the fights.
Tripoli was down, and me and you just went to the fights. But that was a long time ago. And then we saw that scarecrow guy knock a guy out.
Yeah.
Like, just kneed him in the face in 38 seconds.
And we had, like, run of the whole place. Like, we went all the way to the top. We were all the way down by the bottom.
That going with Rogan or getting Rogan seats is a huge benefit. You've
trying to find out if my shows are going to be over by the time the main...
I wonder if Rogan
Who
can
y'all
get
got on
the
there besides Rana ZZZ?
Al Madrigal.
Oh, yeah, Al. I thought I heard that voice. I ain't watching the video for the first time today, you know, because I'm fresh out of court just sitting here trying to chill. I might pull me out one later, too.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're going to beat off
yeah,
later.
Good, good.
Are you, well, you definitely would be beating off if you were watching the video of this with these fucking
four handsome fellas over here.
You now, what happened with the court?
Hey,
what
I
happened
got
with...
it on now. I can see y'all finally.
What was with the court appearance?
He was apparently, let me just see if I have this right, Jeb. Apparently, he was sitting in his own grandmother's house, minding his own business, smoking a bong rip in his boxer shorts, as any gentleman would be doing on a regular Sunday night. Knock on the door. Grandmother opens the door. SWAT team comes in and arrests him.
Why?
We still kind of haven't figured that out yet.
Do you think your grandma ratted you out?
Evidently, somebody I sold to was playing pussy informant or something like that. That's going to get them, you know, some light and sin at some dumb fuck, you know. So that's life. You'll have that shit. But it's just fucked up to get treated like a criminal over marijuana, though.
Jeb, are you not worried about people hearing this maybe in court, what you just said?
No, as a matter of fact, I'll even say the judge's name. Judge Laura Powell, you can suck my dick from the
very There it is.
Well, what state do you live in?
North Carolina.
Yeah, so in terms of marijuana, they're not very, it's not like a state.
It's illegal.
And so for medicinal use, you can't do anything?
No, you're
nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, boy, they treat that shit like here. Well,
yeah.
Hell, those some bitches were so gay, I spit in my trash can, you know, occasionally, like I guess a normal person would, and I dumped. Had stems and stuff. Them bastards put rubber gloves on and dug the spit stems out of my trash can too.
To collect evidence, they went through your garbage cans and collected your spit.
No stems.
Well, how much? I mean, you
I heard spit as well. Yeah. I heard spit.
Spit stems. Can y'all imagine what he does to his wife if he puts gloves on to pick some stems up? I bet he fucking wears gloves when he fucks her or something.
I bet you he gets in that 3-point stance and gets his dick sucked from behind.
I think the takeaway, Jeb, you just introduced me to Keeper Slut, and I'm going to hold on to that for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
that's great.
As long as I can pass on something to people, you know, that's life. I figured that out the hard way. I guess, you know, hustling ain't the way to go. I'm going to have to... You know, failing Jeb's going to have to make a whole life turnaround, you know, so I guess I'm going to pursue what I dream
to do. Talk to me more about that, because that's sort of how we opened the show, is hustling isn't the way to go. And being true to who you are might be the better way. Just, is there anything that you've always wanted to do in your life that you've just been nagging at you, though?
You goddamn right. I want to do stand-up comedy, but I'm a fucking pussy to get started and shit. I've been saying this shit for years.
And, how old are you?
You know, hell. I'm 33.
Well, I started when I was 28 and had been having it nagging at me for my whole life. I always wanted to be a stand-up, and it took me a long time to do it. 33 is still young. I say you just got to fucking deal with it and go for it.
What city do you live in?
Yeah.
Shitty.
Well, there's so many comedy zones
in
Carolina.
Hit me up on Twitter. This is Johnny Woodard. I know all the, you know, I mean, I did the open mics in North Carolina. I can hook you up.
He knows all four of them.
Yeah, all, I mean, there are many.
But actually, I love the Comedy Zones. I've went there and seen Big J and Dave Smith and
there
Joe
are better places
Diaz
to start, though, than
I
the
really
Comedy Zones.
Well, those people who run the Comedy Zones, I was talking to a couple of local comics, and because I was in Charlotte not too long ago, and who's the guy that runs it?
Catherine. Or Mike Hall, the manager.
Mike Hall is a good guy. And so he, I don't know, I feel like they do a lot to incubate young comics, and you can do a lot in Carolina. So you're actually not in that bad of a spot. I would just fucking go for it.
The problem is we can tell you, but we can't drive you to the gig and get you up on stage. And we certainly can't take away that fucking terrible feeling you're going to have when that first thing you say doesn't go as well as you want it to. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The problem is you just have to just keep doing it.
Just go watch an open mic.
Oh, I know. Eating shit, you know, the majority of it starting out. I've learned that from all y'all and stuff. Y'all my mentors and shit, boys. So I learned it from the best.
Well, it's just, you don't have that much time, so just fucking go for it.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't have much more longer to live. You probably only have, if you think about it, Jeb, maybe 4 years left to live.
But Diaz got started in jail, so, you know, maybe if something happens with you
can... You text me again, I'm going to smash your thumbs with a hammer.
He's going to be in Buffalo this weekend, too.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh,
that'll be fun.
I'm going to be doing shows in Helium this weekend in Buffalo, and Thursday night show is going to be really fun because we're going to have some special guests come by. You can only imagine who's going to be there, but...
Was it Joey Diaz?
Joey Diaz and whoever else might be doing their big shows this weekend.
Could be Joe Rogan.
Who knows? But I know Joey Diaz might be there. Well, Joey Diaz is going to be there on Thursday.
But what about Joey Diaz? Will he be there?
Joey Diaz will be there on Thursday.
Well, that's actually the perfect example to what we were talking about. When Jeb, you know, you look at a guy like Joey, who just really is true to who he is.
Genuine.
You know? There's no more genuine comedian that works. And I just feel like... Yeah, he's the nicest fucking dude, and just couldn't be more real. And if you just do that, Keeper Slut, you are.
That's a bit. Yeah,
that's a bit. Yeah. You just wrote a bit. Keeper Slut is, you know, when you're with your Keeper Slut, and and then she's trying to suck you off from behind.
She always complained about swallowing, though, and hell, that's like my goddamn favorite thing, man. Yeah.
Maybe not such a keeper.
Yeah.
Jeb, how many years do you think you have left to live?
Well, as much as...
There you go. That's how you hang up on people. Oh, don't read that. That's nothing for you to read.
Jesus,
you shouldn't
read
what that says. It's just a couple ideas I had.
Hey, did you guys see Diaz early? Was he always like that? Was he always fully... I can never imagine him as kind of an early stage comic. Was he always himself on stage?
He was always like that. So
that's amazing.
The first...
Yeah, he was just on a lot more coke.
In 2000 or something, like, Rogan started coming up to the Bay Area, and we got matched up. I was his opener, and I did that a couple times. And then he would tell me stories about Joey Diaz, and that was the first. And Rogan took his headshots after a night and wanted them to be grizzled and hung out with Joey all night, and I took this picture and showed me that. And it's like, oh, this is guy. And that's when I first started hearing about Joey. And then... And I was on a sitcom in 2004, and Lorenzo, my son, was two, I guess. Yeah, he was 2 years old, and I don't know what it was about Joey, but just loved Joey Diaz. And started climbing all over him around a lot or something like that. And I just ran into him, and he's sitting there smoking a cigarette. And Lorenzo, he was just all over him. And just fucking, he goes, come here, he likes Uncle Joey.
Mitzi used to call him Fat Baby. That's what they put him on the lineup as Fat Baby.
That's funny.
That was
his
handle.
Again, he is who he is. Off stage, he's the nicest dude.
It's amazing.
He would get late spots, and then sometimes he would go on before Rogan. When
not a guy you'd ever want to follow, I imagine, even back then.
Yeah. Tough to follow. Yeah. Huge.
Just
because
it's energy, so much energy. Yeah. He's a force.
Yeah.
You know?
Tough to follow.
Yeah, it's not like just somebody that's just standing there.
But he would. You could see, back then he would get gassed at like 13 minutes.
Like,
well, he
15
also was like
sets were
dying
like,
to get off stage.
Watching
and
him do an
coke.
Hour. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how much of it was that, but you could tell, like.
According to him, a lot. I mean, I just did a show.
Oh, really?
A podcast where we talked about it a lot.
Oh, okay.
Back then, dog, it was burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah, I was like, you could
I'm
see
like,
him
now, give me the goddamn blue light. I got to get offline and do a couple toots.
minute 13, you could just see him, like, sweating and, like, leaning back and shit and grabbing the water. You see the finger going a little bit more. A little heavier.
There was a time where most people that knew him well were like, we'd take him aside and be like, dude, you got to slow down.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have the body type to be doing the stuff that you're doing as much as you're doing it. You know, drinking, staying up late, smoking so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's done great. He doesn't smoke cigarettes anymore. He hasn't done coke in fucking 8 years, 9 years.
Does jiu-jitsu now? Or?
Jiu-jitsu all the time.
Yeah.
Does he have a father? Great father.
I know. He's a dad.
Yeah. Love that guy. Do you guys got any gigs you guys have coming up you want to plug? You're going to be in Buffalo.
Buffalo this weekend at Helium.
Yep. And then you got the big Masters this weekend.
Then Masters Sunday, this Sunday from noon to 4. And if I could, Oklahoma.
Of course.
Going to Silom Springs.
Really?
The casino.
There?
There's a casino there.
Oh.
It's a fun one.
Oh, is that the one Ari did recently?
Hey,
probably.
You did that same gig that I did, the Arkansas Oklahoma casino.
That's
one?
Where I'm going back.
You're going back?
Back, man.
You hated it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was.
I'm bringing Ingram this time.
Just full on comedy, like the non smoking casino section right next to the smoke shop. Just
love
that
it.
Lady who came, this woman comes out to me at a meet and greet. She was delightful.
Fully,
you know how you're not supposed to say anything to like a pregnant woman? Well, it looks like, and you're never supposed to say anything. Yeah. So this fully pregnant lady walks out to me. I mean, just huge. But I knew that in the back of my head I shouldn't say anything. So I go, hey, what do you got there? Huh? Like expecting?
Yeah.
And I always say, and she goes, it's mostly fluid.
Oh no.
And then she goes, I've been sick.
Oh.
And then the husband goes, it was good to see her laugh. I was like, oh,
well,
shit.
Well, you're going to get to see her cry on the way home, sir, after I just thought she was pregnant. Are you going to have a water baby on the way home?
But just demons to fucking just pulling slots at that place.
Yep.
This is Arkansas, Oklahoma.
This is West Island Springs, Oklahoma, which is like 20 minutes from Arkansas.
Like I gotta tell
I'm
you,
going
they,
back.
They treat you nice.
They treat me nice. I'm bringing Rick Ingram with me this time. That's
nice.
April 22nd.
What about you, kind sir?
I got a stand-up special coming out.
On Showtime?
On Showtime, May 5th, Friday, 9 p.m.
Awesome.
And then...
What's it called?
It's called Shrimpin' and Easy.
Yes,
it's a
it
big
is.
Seafood revenge story that I've been carrying around. And then the I got the TV show coming out on June 4th.
Yep, and that is also on Showtime.
I'll show a lot of business with Showtime.
Yep, as you should be. That's a great... and I've heard great things about it. I talked to some people that saw a little screening of it.
Yeah, it's good.
At South by Southwest.
I've been to a lot of shitty stuff.
And they said they really, really, really love it.
Yeah.
And it's something that touches, loosely based on the store. Not, I know it isn't, but it is. And,
yeah.
But a lot of that, you know, to all of us, it really touches a soft spot for us.
Sure.
That's where we all grew up. I will be at the Improv Lab this Friday. If anybody's there, I'll be doing Jeff Richards' show. Last time I did it was a super lot of fun, so come by. I'll be at the Pantages Theater in March, living one of my big dreams. I'll be ripping tickets in half for Lion King. Come see that. I'll be judging the most violent heckler contest at the Pirate's Eye in Somalia. How did I book that? Come check that out. I'll be doing the taste test at the Pink Sock in San Francisco. I'm pretty sure that's a gay bar, and I'm pretty worried about what the taste test is, but I do know I'm on the other end of a glory hole. And finally, let's see, what else did I have? That's it, guys. Go to Punch Drunk. If you're going to go to Amazon, go to punchdrunksports.com. Click the Amazon link. That sends you right to Amazon. You can do all the shopping you're going to do, but that's a good way to help the show out as well. Again, thanks to SeatGeek, thanks to BetDSI, and thanks to Caveman Coffee.
Hashtag Keeper Slut.
Oh, and if you live in Los Angeles, I'm hosting This Is Not Happening for Ari tonight at the Comedy Store. If you live there, come down tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
8 o'clock.
Awesome. Who all's on that?
I have no idea.
Well, that sounds awesome. No. That sounds awesome.
If you're in L.A., we have a live show tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, it's sold out. Super sold out.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Hey, but you'll wish you were there.
Yeah.
You'll wish you were there. All right, guys, suck it.